It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley are here. I mean, literally here in studio. They've just come back from Build, and we'll get all the news, everything about Windows 10 and Azure Lakes and the phones and the HoloLens. Also, Daniel Rubino is here from Windows Central. Peter Bright from Ars Technica. Carl Franklin and Richard Campbell from .NET Rocks. And a lot of booze. It's going to be an amazing Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley, episode 411, recorded Friday, May 1st, 2015. Back from Build. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for simple payment solutions, check out Braintree. With one simple integration, you can offer your customers every way to pay, period. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, go to BraintreePayments.com/Windows. And by IT Pro TV. A good IT pro is always learning, and IT Pro TV is the resource to keep your IT skills and knowledge up to date. IT Pro TV offers engaging courses, now with ethical hacker training, streamed to your Roku, Chromecast, computer, or mobile device. For a free 7-day trial and 30% off the lifetime of your account, go to itpro.tv/ww and use the code WW30. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show that covers Microsoft's latest, and boy, is there a lot to talk about today. In fact, we have so much to talk about. We've moved out of my office into the big room to make room for Mary Jo Foley, who's here in studio with us. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Paul Theron in studio with us, and a cast of thousands, and a tower of whiskey.
At least several.
We want to thank Carl and Richard. For bringing along Carl Franklin and Richard Campbell from .NET Rocks for bringing along enough booze to kill a horse. Including this Aberlour. This is 120 proof. Wow.
You're getting a contact high now just from reading the label.
But now it says this is original cask strength. Does that mean like they dilute the rest of it? They just take it out and put water in it?
That is why whiskey purists are such idiots. Like they complain when you add water to your whiskey.
Yeah. Because this whiskey is already watered.
Yeah, right.
And if you don't want it watered, drink this, and you'll want it watered. That's Dr. Pizza. He's going to join us in a little bit. Carl and Richard are also here. Daniel Rubino is here from Windows Central. But there's a ton to talk about. First of all, was it exciting? I watched the broadcast keynote, and it seemed pretty good.
It was good.
Yeah. I liked what Nadella said.
Yeah.
Let's start at that high level. Is this the best articulated vision that Satya
fully articulated?
Fully articulated,
like an action figure.
Is it a fully articulated vision? Would you say?
Yeah, I would say. I think we keep hearing him talk about cloud first, mobile first, and Microsoft's a platforms and productivity company, and it just felt a little more like they were putting meat on the bones this time.
Actually, I think Daniel wrote something about putting action to words. Is that was that you?
Yeah.
I mean, I like that. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
In the New York Times, Nick Winfield wrote, Satya Nadella envisions a Microsoft that's more willing to favor big bets on new technologies than the cash cows. Well, this is the challenge for Microsoft. It's hard when something's so successful.
Look, he's standing by Windows.
Oh, that's actually a pretty picture.
It is.
When you have something that's massively successful, sometimes that's worse for a company.
It is.
We were literally just talking about that. It's tradition.
Right.
Yep.
You just sort of forget why you're doing it, but you have to keep doing it because it's always worked.
Yep.
It's a real challenge, and other business leaders have pinpointed this as something that a company has to get around. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like – it seems Nadella understands that.
Yeah, I think he does. Yeah.
The big bets are HoloLens. We'll talk about that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But also embracing Linux, which used to be the hated – operating.
I'm still vaguely uncomfortable with that one.
And embracing iPad and Android and mobile and
by the way, in ways that are big and small. I mean, we'll get into this in a bit, but there's the kind of the big picture stuff. You know, we're going to put Office on iPad or whatever, but there are a bunch of small things too that factor into this. This is not let's throw something against the wall and see if it sticks. Right. They're really serious about it.
It's interesting, too, because Nadella did something that I think Steve Ballmer would never do. He said, Apple has taught us all what experience excellence means in the creation of categories. I don't think you'd ever see Steve Ballmer say Apple had taught him anything.
Probably not.
No. But so this, it's really, this is a different company and a different leader.
Yep.
And you, and I feel like it is, the rubber is hitting the road. You're seeing, and that's what I would, and we've been waiting for this, right?
Right.
You kept saying for months, you've been saying, Mary Jo, wait, it'll build. We'll find out at build. Yep. Well, did we?
We found out a lot of things at build.
What did we find out at build?
So we have an idea for this show. We said, why not follow the keynote, the same order of the keynote that Microsoft did?
Good.
At build. So that means we start off with.
Yeah, no, so we started really geeky. I'm watching them write code for like an hour.
90 minutes on the cloud, 7 minutes on Office.
Right. So they spent the first 45 minutes talking about my favorite topic, Azure.
Woo!
Yay! Data lakes? Woo! Anyone? No.
I won't tell you. I won't tell you who said this to me, but someone from Microsoft told me before the keynote, when you hear the word data lake, get up and go to the bathroom.
It's a long conversation.
Because that is the moment where, A, you will need to go to the bathroom because it's about 70 minutes in, and B, you're 20 minutes from Windows, you know?
Yeah. And, and that was true.
Yeah.
It's like you're on a highway in the desert, and you see a sign, data last lakes, stop.
Last stop before Windows, 90 miles.
90 miles. Well, first of all, what is data? What is a data lake?
We're going to condense this down, but we thought Richard Campbell of .NET Rocks might
Let's bring him
good.
Up.
Come on up,
And since Richard brought us the... Aberlour Scotch. You're not a bourbon guy. You're a Scotch guy.
You know what? If it's a brown liquor, I like.
You like all brown liquor.
I'm pretty easy to get along with.
You know, I noticed you're drinking, but you didn't. You opened the Corfin
the
Barrel.
The Barter House.
Yeah.
Well, please have a
little
taste,
Barter
sir.
House.
Yeah, really an interesting. They literally find rare barrels and they bottle them, and when they're gone, they're gone. But that you can get reliably if you don't care about your liver.
I am so grateful because I have never had a cask strength.
That's one of the reasons I picked it out whiskey. For you. Is I
I'm
thought
so excited.
I was going to give you two very distinctive whiskeys that I appreciate.
We're not drinking it?
I think we could open it up.
Yeah, I would recommend it.
Now, should I put a little water in it?
I would taste it as it is.
Okay.
And then you probably want to put a little water.
And then when your lips fall off into the glass, we'll get you some water.
I always like, frankly, brown liquors when there's a drop or two of water in it. It seems to open it up a little bit.
Yeah, especially with that one, which has never had water touch it. So
it's amazing.
It's a very different drink.
Well,
there's actually a tab at the top of that lid that'll help you.
So tell us about Azure and data lakes.
So we can condense that 40 minutes.
Do it
minutes
in a way that's not going to bore the hell out of
you. Should I go to the bathroom now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Richard's going to make it exciting.
Bio break.
I'll follow your lead, MJ.
Okay. So, you know, the gist of what they announced is Azure Data Warehouse, which gives them something to compete with Amazon's Data Warehouse.
Yes, which, by the way, is hugely successful, right?
Yeah, and massive.
Right.
Very profitable for Amazon.
And then they also announced two complementary services, Azure Data Lake and Elastic Databases for Azure SQL Database, which just flows right off the tongue.
As usual, the naming is awesome.
Exactly.
But it is what it says it is.
It is technically accurate. If you say it slowly enough, it actually means what you think it means.
Yeah, that's, you know, in computers, that's kind of unusual. Yeah.
It is. So it was funny. During the keynote, we were watching people tweet as though Microsoft had made up the word data lake.
Yeah.
But data lake is a real term in databases. It's a object repository for, I think, unstructured data or data you're holding in a patch.
Yep.
Dr. Pizza just went to sleep. Come on, man.
It's unlike partition stitching, it's a real term.
Exactly.
This is a move against this idea of doing this huge transform and load process of trying to make all the data look the same so you can analyze it. It's leave it as it is and then analyze it on the fly.
Yes.
And that's important. It's efficient. We're talking petabytes now.
Right.
You can share.
And so this is big for IoT, right? Especially.
Yes.
One of the applications.
Well, we're going to get oceans worth of data out of all these devices.
Right.
So we should start with a lake.
We should. So people, lakes, you don't want your lakes to become swamps. That's true. That's another thing that you say when you're talking about data lakes, right? So it's just big data stuff.
So I'll have a moment while we...
His eyebrows just singed right off.
Paul just, for those of you listening at home, just took a sip.
Yeah,
of the Aberlour.
I'm afraid.
This is we said really clearly at the beginning, you don't start with this
stuff.
My precious.
All right. He's keeping the glass. All right.
A couple of glasses into that, and everything is precious.
Yes. Right.
Even daylights are sounding good. Keep going.
They are, right?
It smells like molasses. It really is that thick.
This is like the port of...
Well, it is aged in sherry butts.
Yeah.
So that gives you a little kind of porty kind of a feel to it. It's only 120.
Yeah, I think it just turned my mouth inside out.
I don't know, but I think that's all I would say about those 40 minutes.
Yeah, and I think the most important thing from a dev much. Perspective is this idea of leave your data as it is, where it is, whether it's in log file. Don't mess with it because we now have the tools that will analyze it in situ.
Exactly. So, you know, just so you guys understood what they were doing with the keynote, this is our personal theory.
It take them 90 minutes to say that.
Right. So, you know, the cloud is Microsoft's future. That's why you lead with the cloud.
There is a semiotics. There is a message communicated by the fact that before you mention Windows 10, which everybody's there to find out about, you spend that long on Azure. There's a reason.
There are several reasons, but they did say one thing that I thought was kind of cool. I'm going to botch it, but it was we want to be the data behind everyone's apps, regardless of platform.
Right.
And so if Windows Phone never takes off, if Windows never takes off, they'll have that.
Yes.
And I think that's an important part of their business going forward.
Wait a minute. If Windows never takes off.
In the mobile space.
Oh, okay.
He means phone.
I understand it was a big deal in the past.
Yeah. I heard Windows or something. This, by the way, is the most amazing thing I have ever had in my life.
I'm glad to have brought it to you.
And children, do not try this at home. But boy, oh boy.
I thought you were going to say, and that includes children.
Do you not agree?
This is mind-boggling. I don't know why you would mix water into this.
It would ruin it.
I think I've just become a snob.
There you go. I would say, actually, put a drop of water because it does change, and not necessarily for the work.
Can we please have an eye drop?
I've done that. I've just flicked
just a drop. Yes.
Here it is.
All right, go ahead. Just do the show now.
I can,
put the shaving cream over
here. Wake him up on HoloLens.
Oh, my God. If you guys put magic marker on my forehead, I will be so angry.
I'll draw the Windows flag on your forehead.
Yeah.
Leo will be like the Charles Manson of Windows.
So, what...
I know. So, you know,
did they mention containers? I know about that.
Yeah, they talked a little bit about containers. Hadoop was said several times.
Big data.
They took drinks during the keynote. Yes. Yep.
But this is all at the beginning.
All at the beginning.
Yes. Well, and then Hadoop ties into the whole data lake story in a big way. It's about, again, that managing large blocks
across
lots of machines.
Cynically, if you talked about Windows first, nobody would have heard of any of this stuff.
Right. You have to start with this, or they're going to be gone.
That would have been.
But I don't think they're saying it's important.
Yes.
This is important to our business.
Yep. It is. Yep.
And why is this important to their business?
Well, because if you look at what's making money at Microsoft right now, one of the biggest businesses for them is cloud and enterprise.
Sure. And this stuff only gets meaningful when the data sets get really big.
Right.
The hundreds of gigs, the petabytes, the tens of petabytes, and that's money.
So this is really a message not even for SMBs. This is a message for big business.
Right. Well, the biggest spooky is how much data even small organizations are starting to gather now.
Right.
You know, we start talking about how many devices and how much information is available. We used to consolidate. A side effect of ETL was this consolidation of data, and we're just not doing it anymore.
Right.
So petabytes is not going to be that big a number much longer.
Is some of that the regulatory environment as well, that government regulations like Sarbanes-Oxley are forcing people to keep data more? Is that part of it?
I wouldn't disagree with you there, but it's also because that's been true for years.
But more important is data mining.
Yes.
More important is the insight you can gain from this data.
And anytime you consolidate, you diminish what the data's worth.
Sorry,
have another drink, Paul.
It's the lossy compression of data. You don't want to take stuff out.
And when you talk about analytics,
you don't need to anymore.
But
storing this in the cloud as opposed to locally, why?
Why not?
Or do you have local Azure? Are you talking about on-prem?
There's a possibility as well, and a lot of that stuff is on-prem. More of it's going to be generated in the cloud in the first place, right? When you start going down the IoT path, you are talking about stuff that writes to the cloud anyway.
Exactly.
So somebody has said in the chat room the word I was waiting to say, which was IBM.
IBM, this was their business.
And it sounds like
and Oracle, too, right? Isn't Oracle a big...
Yeah. I've never heard of a company called Oracle, but IBM, definitely.
Don't say the O word.
Yeah. But we just saw the profits that Amazon, which is not making any money, but we just saw the profits they're making on AWS.
Right.
They're making profits on AWS.
Yes. Yeah. And by the way, at Build, Microsoft said they think in 2 years they're going to be at a $20 billion annual run rate on their cloud.
Wow. So this is a
big... What will Windows Phone be in 2 years?
written off. Maybe. Yeah.
So now you see why the bet. $20 billion. It's a $20 billion business. That's important.
Right.
Well, and it's clearly a growth business where some other markets are having more trouble.
Right.
And we do a show on enterprise, but enterprise is a hard sell in our space because it's like, well, what does that mean to me? And I don't understand it. And
right. Yeah. So. I mean, that literally was the IBM ads from 10, 15 years ago. You know, people don't understand all of the stuff that's behind what's going on in the world, and it's IBM at the time.
Yeah, and IBM is selling business intelligence as a big – but Microsoft has every one of those categories, right?
All of those pieces and getting – you know, the big thing that's happening now is we have so much more compute compared to back then.
Right.
I mean, back then it was just about trying to manage all this data. We have so many compute resources around, we can do analysis at a whole other level. You can afford to run every data mining algorithm option on that petabyte with the data.
That's amazing.
Because you only pay by the minute for the consumption.
Right.
And you find, you know, the reason you don't consolidate.
So that's why you put it in the cloud.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're looking for exception data anyway.
Yeah.
Right? If it's everything you knew, it's not interesting. It's what you didn't know.
Right.
Right. And the tools are better operating in the cloud.
It's my job.
Yeah.
I drink
that
and scotch.
Yeah. And now I know why you drink.
Yeah.
All right. Richard Campbell of .NET Rocks is with us. He's is explaining what the whole point of the data lake. And Paul and I just say,
you can't really chug this, Leo.
No, it's sipping whiskey.
You want to, but.
Wow. It's like molasses. I'm not kidding. There is a caramel. I guess that's the sherry.
Yeah. Well, you remember that alcohol was completely clear when it went into that sherry barrel. All of came out of the wood.
And it is as smooth as all get out.
Yeah.
So it makes smooth it as a grandma's butt. No, that's wrong. I don't know where that came from.
All right.
Well, that's what it's like in your family.
Grandma was known for her smooth butt. No, that's really remarkable. And I'm just going to say this one more time for the people at home. It's Aberlour, A-B-E-R-L-O-U-R, Highland Whiskey from A'BUNADH, Abunda. Abunad.
Is the particular – Aberlour makes lots of different scotches. This is their cask strength.
This is the cask strength. Abunad. And by the way – look for batch 49, because that's a particular.
I haven't run across a bad batch yet.
This is very good. That's really remarkable.
This was the source of my demise.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and he was never seen.
Keep that on your phone for the law enforcement. Anything else to say about Azure before we move along?
Anything else from the keynote that stuck out?
I mean, I'm astonished at how rapidly Microsoft has moved on the container movement.
Right. Yes,
and. This idea that my developers now can build their projects in these containers that run beautifully on their machine and with no changes can be deployed to their servers, to the cloud, to somebody else's cloud, onto a Linux host or onto a Windows host, I think it's a huge deal.
Yes.
A container is just a container, and it will run anywhere you want it to run.
Yeah. I mean, and is Docker their only container solution, or are there others? Is Docker one of them?
There are other container systems in the world, but I think people are really resonating around Docker.
People love Docker.
Microsoft's building their own containers into the next version of Windows Server.
Yep.
You know,
I think it's one of the things. I think the strength of the Windows scenarios. You know, it's an owned code base.
Yes.
You know, it's theirs, and if they decide that container is important, they can move very fast on it. But I think, you know, they've demonstrated they're serious about compatibility. So I would never. For a moment, they'd ignore the Docker standard around that.
Is there a little bit of, though, faddishness around this? I mean, this suddenly became
it is
the
very
thing.
Hip. Yeah.
It's like
very
in the last few months. It's I mean, everybody and their brothers at containers. No,
they're obviously embracing Linux at exactly the right time, so sure.
Yeah.
Well, and the strength of it is, this is what you loved from virtualization without all the overhead. That instead of having to include an operating system with every one of these instances, I have a common operating
system.
It's
ABV for the cloud.
That's right. Well, and you know, you could take this and turn it into desktop virtualization as well if you wanted.
Mm-hmm. I think that
path is there.
Yep.
And we've talked about this before, the distinction between Hyper-V and virtualization and containers.
Yeah.
containers are basically lower level.
They it's a lighter weight.
Lighter
version.
Weight.
You know, just think it's regular. It's like Hyper-V virtualization, but we've taken the OS out of the VM.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just now hooking onto an OS, and that makes a huge difference.
But Microsoft also is building a hybrid container with Hyper-V as well.
We'll see where that ends
up.
Well, there's an interesting. The issue here is when you virtualization now, the traditional form that goes with the BIOS and so forth, that completely fools the OS. It doesn't know it's running in a VM at all. Is it got some good security around it? It's very robust, and it's very tough to make it that secure in the container model, mm-hmm. when you're plugging into an OS, if that OS gets exploited, those containers are potentially vulnerable.
Yeah.
And if we got a really nasty container, you know, you've got some third-party container.
Cross-contaminate through via the operating system.
And everything would be potentially vulnerable. Yeah. And there's more attack surface in that model than there is in the traditional virtualization model.
It's also surprising, since Microsoft has been known as an operating system vendor, that they would go all in on a technology that is operating system
agnostic. Yes, but I think that sort of speaks to the new Microsoft, too. They've kind of recognized the OS doesn't matter much anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Nowhere near as it used to.
I know.
Very interesting stuff.
Yes. So, that
Windows
was Azure.
Windows Drinkly is what I heard.
Windows Drinkly.
Yes.
I think this bottle of Aberlour is going to go a long way towards
that. Not today, it's not.
We should pass it around.
Yeah.
Except that nobody
you
would
You may
ever.
Have to keep everyone overnight.
Yeah. Put cots in the basement.
Yeah.
Hey, Richard, thank you so much. Richard Campbell is at .NET Rocks.
And
Carl Franklin, your partner's here as well. He'll talk about some stuff, too.
You bet.
And thank you so much for, you bought not just the Aberlour, but you brought also
Mortlock. I went for two different styles there. Mortlock is out of Dufftown, and that's a specialty bottling. They normally don't have a branded bottle. They most of the stuff actually gets blended into various versions of Johnny Walker.
You were saying this is Johnny Walker's.
Too much about this topic.
I'm a professional alcoholic, but you know.
But you know, I gotta say, I've learned this is good.
Yeah,
I learned a little bit.
You know what to get you for Christmas now.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you very much. There,
Richard. Richard Campbell, .NET Rocks. All right. Before they got to Windows, they continued on with more fascinating material about Office.
Yes, they did. Although this was kind of sad because the Office stuff in the keynote got very short shrift.
Well, you know why, though? Because this is the only bit that applied to developers.
I know.
Right, so next week is Ignite, and they'll probably
Talk a lot about Office.
Yeah, but talk about getting squeezed, you know?
I know.
90 minutes of content. 7 minutes. And then Windows, whatever Windows was.
But they actually did announce some very interesting things for developers with Office.
Yep.
So plugins, you know, things that are in the Office store right now, like LinkedIn and those kind of plugins, you're going to be able to use those not just on Office desktop apps, but also on the mobile apps.
Right.
Which is kind of amazing.
It's more than kind of amazing.
Yeah. Even people at Microsoft were like, wait, we're doing that now?
We alluded to this a few weeks ago. Some, you know, the question had come up, you know, when do the Office mobile apps, you know, Office for iPad, Office for Windows 10, those kind of apps, when do they take over for the desktop apps, you know, full power desktops? You know, and there's a lot that has to go into that. But one of the things that I raised was add-ons, you know, this notion of add-ons. And I always figured they would do it, but that they would do it years down the road and that it would be a different model. But it is, in fact, the add-on model from Office 2013.
Right.
And so also available on the Mac, which I don't think they even mentioned during the keynote. But these, if you write an add-in for Outlook or Word or Excel, PowerPoint, whatever, you can design it such that it works across all of those clients. Works differently depending on what the capabilities of the system are, the type of screen it is, if it's a phone, if it's a tablet, if it's a PC, whatever. That's amazing.
It is.
Powerful. And it's available right now. And so the first one, I think Excel for iPad is going to be sometime in the coming weeks. Right. We'll be the first to support that on the mobile side. Mm-hmm. And then over the course of the year, the rest of iOS, iPhone and iPad, Android, and then, of course, the Windows 10 apps as well.
Yep. So if you remember, codename-wise, something called Agaves, this is Agaves, like the next version of what Agaves were, which are the plugins. So that was interesting. And then on the other Office news, we found out, if you remember, we were supposed to get those touch-first Office apps for Windows Phone by April 30th. Well, we didn't.
It's May 1st.
It is. But we're hearing next week is when those are going to drop. So if you're waiting for those, which I found out at the show are now called, what's the official name? It's a really crazy name. Mobile for Windows 10 apps.
What?
sounds like
Office
Yoda.
Mobile for
Windows 10
it's
apps,
be
they
That name's got to change. That name has to change. That's the name they're using now, which we were calling before Office Universal Apps. They're not calling them that now.
Mobile for Windows 10 apps.
Apps.
Right. Well, it has to be. I mean,
the ones.
Words,
I mean,
Office
the ones.
Mobile, Word Mobile.
Right, Office like Word
Windows
Mobile
10.
For Windows 10.
Well, they have
10.
To differentiate them somehow. I think
they
people
do.
Are confused.
They do. Yeah. But maybe that name will change again. But those are coming next week.
And where's Gemini stand right now? Is that going to come out with Windows 10 or?
Oh, man. Gemini.
Touch
Gemini
first just, Office.
This is what we're talking
that's
about.
That's it. I think this is
that's
it.
The same thing.
Yes.
But it's mobile.
So there's a, but that's, well, it always was.
Right.
Oh, it always was.
Well, no, I mean, in other words,
but isn't there a touch first desktop office, or is that a crazy thought?
You can use those. You can use
this
those.
Is just the so this is this, and this is what I have to wrap my head around now. Is that
this is what I this is
everything is everything. It's all universal, right?
Well, the confusing bit is on this system. I thought you did. You could have Office 2013, which is the current desktop.
I do.
Full powered app.
Yeah, and I open OneNote.
OneNote.
Yeah.
You could also have OneNote, the mobile app, which I don't think you do.
The former Metro, formerly known as Metro.
Right.
I probably didn't put it on here because I find that confusing.
Yeah,
you're touching it.
I don't think. Wait.
You should say what you're.
It's begging to be
I didn't know you could do
audience.
That. Wow. He's touching mine.
Put your hands down.
This is. I never installed it.
There you go.
Oh, that is there. All right.
It's a little confusing, I think, to people that you can have both versions on.
I'm thinking this is the Dell XPS 13. I'm thinking it probably came.
It comes with
on the with and so I would have had to uninstall it, which I didn't.
Yeah.
But I never used it, as you can see. So.
And nor should you. but
well, then that's very confusing this is just the same program.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're using Windows on a 7 or 8 inch tablet, you might want to use this instead because it's touch, it's more touch friendly than the traditional.
So when you say mobile now, you're not saying not desktop.
Well, actually,
no.
Yes.
Well, you can run the mobile ones on these touch first ones on the desktop if you want to. Right.
You can.
Right.
That's Windows because it's the hybrid.
It's universal.
Yes.
Right. Universal.
Yeah.
Right. The other thing
I'm putting myself in the position of a normal person.
I know, and it's confusing.
Which is that we're right.
And I am confused a little bit. Yeah.
Outlook.com also is getting plugins.
Right, right.
Which is also very interesting.
I presume that the Office add-ins will work on Office.com.
Yeah, would think. I didn't hear them say that, but I would assume that. Yeah, so that's Office. We did about 7 minutes also.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's the entire thing. All right, we're going to take a break because when we come back, we're finally going to get to something you care about.
What?
Sorry, Peter. We'll wake up Peter Bright. Windows 10 is the topic. And apparently there was something to be said there.
A few things.
Just one or two. Our show today brought to you by Braintree Payments. If you're a mobile app developer, I know a lot of you are. You're probably wondering, how do I get payments into my mobile app the easiest way, the most effective way, the most secure way? How do I get payments in there that'll support everything, including Apple Pay and credit cards and Bitcoin? Yes, Bitcoin and Venmo and PayPal. I'm talking BraintreePayments.com/Windows. Braintree supports all the major languages, C#, C++, Node.js, Ruby, everything you use to develop your mobile and your web apps. In fact, you can integrate with their Zero.V SDK. You can integrate this in with just a couple of lines of code. It is so easy. No wonder both Uber and Lyft use Braintree V.0 SDK. Uber and Lyft, Airbnb, Hotel Tonight, Living Social, GitHub, when they first started accepting payments, started with Braintree, and now they've grown, and Braintree scaled right up with them. From early stage startups to successful companies, they could scale with your business too, from your first dollar to your billionth. No matter how your customers want to pay, I cannot recommend this more highly as an easy, straightforward, secure way to give your customers what they want. It's a full stack payment solution, and it is as easy as can be. Superior fraud protection, customer service, and for you, you'll like it. Fast payouts. And right now, as kind of an incentive, I want you to go there. You can create a free account and try the sandbox with your app. But as a little bit of incentive, go to BraintreePayments.com/windows. And your first $50,000 in transactions will be fee-free. Wow. No fee on your first $50,000. BraintreePayments.com/windows. If you're looking for that perfect mobile payment API for your app, BraintreePayments.com/windows.
Yeah.
What?
I can't reach the whiskey.
I can't reach. Paul says, give me more whiskey. Would you like the good stuff? You drank all that? Remember, it's 120 proof.
I understand.
Okay. You're a trained professional. I'm not going to get in your way.
I'm getting a little sweaty, though.
I am, too. It's warm in here. It's not you. It's not the booze. It's just a little warm because it's a hot day in Petaluma. It's in the, like, 88 degrees outside, according to my Apple Watch. And the air conditioning has failed. Windows 10. Who are we going to bring up to talk about Windows 10?
We can bring a few people. Should we start with Carl Franklin maybe to talk about bridges?
Bridges? Yes. This is a very aquatic show. We've got lakes and we've got bridges.
Yeah.
Carl Franklin from .NET Rocks, our musician. He also brought a couple of his new CDs. Been a while. There that is. What kind of music is that?
So people compare my music to Steely Dan a lot, but if you basically...
I love Steely Dan.
Groovy, funky.
Anything called the Big Butter and Egg Man is for me. You know,
that's
we have
an old song.
We have the Butter and Eggs Day Parade here every year. You just missed that last weekend.
It was the talk of the car, Leo.
It was.
Louis Armstrong.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of Carl Franklin originals on here, as well as Boogie
and
Groove.
Guitar player John Scofield played
nice
on the third track, which my wife Kelly wants me to say is about her.
Oh, you mean Chain Reaction? That's her? Is it?
She's the blonde in that song, in that story.
Hey, do we have a CD player anywhere?
What is this CD player you speak of?
These discs are foreign.
I realized at some point that giving people CDs represents work for them.
It's like, wow, I kind of remember this format, but I don't know what to do with it.
Free CD, now I need to spend $99.
Exactly. How do I do this? What is this?
There's no CD player in there.
I'm just looking.
No.
There's no CD player. All right. And you also brought Lifeboat to Nowhere. Mm-hmm. What kind of music is this? This is you and your bro.
Yeah. So the Franklin Brothers is myself and my brother Jay and any good studio musicians we can get. But it's more ballads, but there are a few funky horn tunes on there as well. That's all originals.
Do you have
some
song,
blues.
That song you played for us?
Yeah.
Which one?
The first one.
The theme song.
No, not on the show. I mean, earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Is it just on your phone?
Yeah, it's on my phone.
Can you play it into the microphone?
I suppose I could. Your theme song. So
the new theme song?
When I was on the show.
Did you put it on OneDrive or anything modern?
It's actually on the web, but it's sort of a private link.
Ah.
You know?
Okay.
So, but
I guess just play it right out of that phone.
Basically, I created an album for the sole purpose of getting licensed by NASCAR because I'm working with a license company and NASCAR was big and they wanted these particular kinds of driving tunes.
It is a little bit like the music they used to play in the beginning of the NFL games where the country star would come out.
Are you ready for some windows?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
That's actually a lot. Right,
so I like it.
So let me play one here. And
this
I'll
is
just,
good.
He's doing some samples for us, so what we might like.
Let's see here.
I like that. Hey. Wow. All right. You're signed. You're hired. That's great. You like guys like that?
I like it. Yeah.
Let's use it.
Sort of high energy.
Yeah. All right. I'll write you a check
after
the show.
And then we start and everyone just falls asleep.
I like the hay in there. That's very Ramones. It's good. I like it. So Windows 10.
That's why I went to music school, to learn to write hey.
Hey.
You know?
Hey.
Right.
Hey.
Right. So one of the big surprises at Build, well, there were a few big surprises, but one was they did talk about the long-rumored Android on Windows phone.
A lot of people picked up that story.
They did.
You know, it's interesting to see what the media pick up on.
Yes, but they also talked about getting iOS apps on Windows phone.
Yeah.
Which we hadn't talked about before.
So I read it. I looked.
It seemed impossible.
It did.
I looked carefully, and it looks like you still have to rewrite your app.
Somewhat.
And how much? I'm curious.
Right? So if you have a 2D game, perhaps, right, that has all graphics code that is pretty much going to translate. Yeah, I know. You guys should really not start with the Abelor Abenad. You know, maybe something a little
tears to my eyes.
And doesn't this sound funny, Richard? You should start with something lighter, like Mortlock.
No. You know, this is
seriously good. 2 hours of that, and you'll be good.
I'm already.
Wait till the third ad. It's going to be awesome. he'll be like giving the money back.
So my thought was that, you know, and of course what they did is they said you could take your Java code, pull it into Visual Studio, and then just recompile it and you've got a Windows Universal app. And then they showed iOS, like Objective-C in Visual Studio, and our heads exploded.
Yep. I was in the audience going...
Yeah, it was, and it just reminds me, oh my God, I love C#. Oh,
yeah.
Looking at that code was just...
Yeah,
but here's the thing, and we were talking about this in the car on the way up. It's really great that they can take source code and then you do have to do some rewriting if you have, you know, anything that has input or anything that uses the system, the stuff that's on the phone, right? The native support, you're going to have to do a little rewriting. But that's really cool. But what I really think is going to work for them, and remember, in order to revive the Windows Phone ecosystem, it really needs revival because it's kind of passed out right now, is to be able to run more apps. And that's the only thing that's going to get people to buy them, is because it's a sweet phone, but I can't get this app and I can't get that app. What would really be great, I want, is to be able, if I built an Android app, to be able to take the same thing that I sent to the Play Store and send it to the Microsoft Store.
Well, but you've got to, okay, so a couple of questions.
Who said
that? That was Peter. But so a couple of questions. So we've seen this before. Java did this, right? Write once, run everywhere.
Yeah.
The issue was, of course, there's two issues on mobile, but the issue with Java was, of course, controls. Right. It's hard to get native controls, native buttons.
OS 2.
They tried to solve this with Swing in Java.
Right.
Not well.
No.
And it never really materialized.
Well, anytime you put a layer on top of a UI layer and do a translation,
so
you're going to get a lot.
How do they solve that? Are they going to do native UIs on iOS and Android?
So I think Peter's going to have to answer that
for me. Let Peter talk about that.
Let Peter talk about that.
Second question. I thought this was very interesting. Of course, most mobile apps rely on services from the OS.
Yeah.
And Android services are a big deal. You get a lot of stuff from that. Microsoft says they're going to kind of provide their own version of these.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. I wonder if that comes from the X-Phone initiative or...
That's Android Open Source Project.
Right.
It's AOSP? But you can use AOSP. So this is the thing with AOSP is if you're going to make a handset with AOSP, you're not going to have Google Play services.
Right.
You're not going to have Google Store. Right. You're not going to have Maps. You're not going to have all of those features. And without those services, you have to supplant them with something else.
Well, you're going to supplant them with Windows.
Bing Maps and
the only way to make this work is if Microsoft gives, at a very low level, API-compatible level, access to these same services.
That's right, yeah. And so it is an exciting time. The question is it enough?
Can they do it?
Can they do it, number one? And even if they do.
Even if it is, what's
it enough?
The difference?
Is it enough to revive the Windows Phone ecosystem? Yeah. And that's the question we all
Well, and they're coming at it from two angles, because the other angle, of course, is the universal app. And this is what we're going to talk about a little bit later on. With Dimitri Lee Allen, who did the Twit app, did a beautiful Twit app for Windows Phone.
Mm-hmm.
If you could do a universal app for Windows 10, Windows Phone, Xbox, that's another way to solve this.
The funny thing is, I actually always thought they would go in the opposite direction with Android, that they would have universal apps
on Android.
Yeah. You know, to be truly universal, you have to bring in as many platforms as you can.
Well, you know, and that's where Xamarin helps, right?
Yes.
Xamarin takes that whole piece of being able to take your code base and recompile for Android and recompile for iOS. And that's a very important piece of the puzzle that's missing.
Yep.
But, you know, you were asking, Leo, this is a great question. You know, I'm a regular guy. What is so special about the cloud, you know? And from a user's perspective, the cloud enables magic. And let me tell you what I mean by that. I use an app on my phone, and I'm listening or I'm watching a video or something like that. And then I put my phone down, I walk over to my desk, and I pull up the same app, and it's right where I left off.
Right.
Where's the app?
Right.
Right? Where is it? Is it on my phone? Is it on my desktop? Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. Right. And so that whole being everywhere all at once thing is magic. It's by definition. It's like, wow, that's spiritual.
Especially if it's cross-platform.
You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
So I think that's a really great question. You know, why should I care about the cloud? Because it enables that kind of experience that you wouldn't have otherwise. And I think by doing bridges, it was pretty clear what they said was, we want to pull in as many developers on as many platforms, as many languages as possible, and use the Windows.
This
one
is not,
billion,
well,
one
it's,
billion.
It's,
yeah,
it's developer friendly, right? In other words,
but it's not a new strategy, and it's failed every time we've seen this before. I mean, we've seen other platforms like BlackBerry announce,
but BlackBerry only had that. In other words, the universal app thing, the four bridges that they talked about, there's more than just Android.
Right. Right.
It's Android, it's iOS, it's web apps, and it's Windows.
But it ultimately relies on developers buying the message.
Yes.
And of course.
Well, which, by the way, is a big problem.
It's a big problem because no matter how easy this is to do, it is still effort.
Yes.
It is still compiling it for another platform. And if a developer says, I don't want a three. I don't care about a 3% platform.
Yeah.
Yep. There's also another issue, which is you might make this possible, but doesn't mean Google's going to do it.
Right.
Right.
Sure. And if Google doesn't go along, then I'm so invested in the Google ecosystem that if I don't have Google Plus and all the Google features on my Windows Phone, that's the thing that kept me from using
Windows Phone. Think about it. As a C# developer, I always think, it's about the tools. The tools are great because we have great tools. Visual Studio.
Yeah, excellent tools.
Exceptional.
And they're now cross-platform with code.
Yeah, but it was never about the reason that, Windows Phone is where it isn't because we didn't have great tools.
Right.
Sure. It's because the apps weren't built for it, right. And it just sort of fed itself down the spiral.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So having apps for the phones is what's going to make them make or break them.
Talk about the other two bridges, though, that we didn't talk about, because I think these were equally interesting in a way.
And also container-based, at least the first one.
So one of these other are these toolkits that are going to help developers bring more apps to the store. Another one is bringing Win32 apps to the store.
That's right.
Which is kind of crazy.
Win32 and .NET apps.
And .NET, right.
So any Win32 or .NET app can now be submitted to the Windows Store, and those are downloaded and run in a sandbox like a container.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, it is.
So there's a little metro holder that you're.
It's the thing they've been providing to enterprises for several years.
Ah. Mm-hmm. So it's well known.
Yep. Yeah.
Well known and well understood.
And the creator of the app does not have to do anything. No. This is just automatic.
As far as I know, that's the message I got.
Well, no, the creator of the app is the one that has to do this. They're the ones who have to package it.
So they actually do package
it. I don't believe there's any necessary.
There's no recoding.
No, but they have to do the work to and then decide to put it in the store. If Adobe doesn't want to put Photoshop in the store, it doesn't appear in the store. Then it's up to them.
Right.
But it begs,
is Photoshop 32 only?
Yeah. But the
So that's a good example.
They're literally doing it, sort of. So literally, sort of. Photoshop Elements and Premiere Elements will be in the Windows Store, and they are the desktop apps.
The 32-bit apps wrapped
in this new Metro app container, an evolved version of Effie. Yeah.
So I had questions like, I'm a Kinect developer, and I'm an MVP for Kinect, but I didn't know, are there any limitations to that container? If the Kinect is a very resource-intensive, and it requires a lot of CPU power and a lot of GPU power, and I that was my question. Yeah. I didn't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I think this is primarily for productivity type applications, but
certainly is.
That's certainly been the background.
And games, right? Also, or no?
Say the apps will be able to do anything except for install device drivers and install services.
Oh, well, Peter Bright is saying the apps will be able to do anything except install device drivers
and services.
Okay.
So that's pretty much anything else.
Yeah.
There should be performance constraints. No. All right. Good. Yeah.
It's Effie.
That's great.
So a DirectX game would have no trouble porting right over. Interesting.
And the fourth bridge is web apps. So you take a website, wrap it,
put it in
the store.
When I first saw that, and they showed an app that looked like a real, Windows desktop app, but it came from a website.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought was, that's kind of like a, phone gap thing.
Yeah.
But it isn't really.
No.
This is literally being able to take a website, make a few tweaks, and write to the system, and that's the magic question, is how many tweaks do we have to do? Chuckle from the audience there, yes. Well placed.
What happens to Win64 stuff? That's unchanged. You can't do that.
I'm not sure. What do you mean?
Win32 covers 32x.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. The Win64 name was killed off.
Yeah.
There is no Win64. Sorry.
X64.
It's all. It's the same. Yeah.
It's the same.
Yeah.
Win32 is basically desktop.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep. So for people who like code names, this was kind of interesting. The bridges, these four bridges all have code names, and each of those code names is a bridge.
There's so, Mackinac.
Astoria.
There's Astoria. Ambassador.
No. Astoria.
George Washington.
Android One.
And Astoria.
There's an Astoria bridge somewhere. I think it's Oregon, maybe?
I believe.
And then Project Islandwood. Islandwood is a bridge.
So they're not all places in California.
They are not. And Islandwood is the iOS one. The web apps one is codenamed Westminster. And the classic Win32, Centennial.
Mm. Being so open about this, you know, Terry Meyerson refused to tell me what these were.
And, I don't like when they're open about code names.
They're bridges.
Just on the web.
Takes the fun away.
Yeah. He didn't know, that's why.
No, he knew.
No. And
Oh, he knew.
If you ever hear of Project A, that is the Android bridge, by the way. Yeah. They did that to foil us, they said, because we were onto the Android on Windows stuff. Yeah. So they kept changing the code name to try to thwart us who are trying to find out.
I can see if you're an Angry Birds, this makes you happy because it makes it easy to port to Windows Phone. Although you probably would anyway.
Yeah. Although Candy Crush Saga,
was part of the partnership
with Islandwood.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
But then I heard they went and rewrote that all natively.
Oh, did
Why?
They?
After? Yeah, I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. That's a bad sign.
And that was a rumor.
Rumor?
No.
Candy Crush?
Okay. Well, not according to
We'll have to get to the bottom of that one.
We will.
Yeah.
Oh, just get it in the store. I mean, it doesn't matter in a way.
No, it sure doesn't.
Yeah.
So okay.
Bridges. Cool.
I would recommend you guys switch to.
Well, let me just chug this.
Just chug
this down and we'll move right
on. Chug that hard enough.
I do like the little Fox logo guy.
It's cute, isn't it?
So let me tell you a story about Orphan Barrel. I went to my local liquor store and I couldn't find any anymore. And they made a couple of things. Barter House is a 20-year-old. They make Forged Oak, was a 15-year-old. And I couldn't find it. And they say, nope, they're done. And in fact, Barter House is done.
What?
They got the last four bottles of it at the local store.
Oh, that's not right.
In San Fran, because they had bought a lot of it when it came out. But wow. Orphan Barrel makes these one-off batches, and when they're gone, they're gone. So they're just as much a collector's item as they are a great bourbon.
Well, let's drink it.
I can't believe you opened this. Now I was going to collect that.
It's like playing with a Star Wars action figure.
You took it out of the box.
Yeah.
All right, anything else to say about the bridges?
No, but I got plenty to say about HoloLens if you want to talk about
that. We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
We're going to
get back.
We're going to get there.
All right.
That'll be the controversial segment.
The bridges are interesting. We have yet to see, to summarize, we have yet to see whether it's going to make a difference in the Windows Phone market.
That's what we're asking.
Right.
Yeah.
Or are they bridges of Madison County?
That's a good question. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful, but we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you, Carl Franklin,
musician extraordinaire and the author of our new Windows Weekly theme.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey. That's what it's called.
Did you make it? Yeah. Make it. Oi. 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 Was there any news about Windows 10 desktop at all?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like they're all talking about everything else.
I know. So right after all the keynotes ended and we're back in the press room, suddenly Microsoft drops a new build of Windows 10 desktop.
Ooh.
And yes, it ruined the Wi-Fi at the conference.
All of a sudden, the internet just goes boom.
It did. So maybe we'll bring Daniel Rubino from Windows Central up to talk with us about that.
I love it. He's wearing an incredible shirt. I love his shirt. It's his Xbox soccer shirt. The Sounders Football Club, is that a real football club at Seattle?
Yeah, Seattle.
Only if you live in Seattle, Leo.
What's soccer?
So, and this, do they actually wear an Xbox shirt?
Yes.
They do?
Yeah, it's actually the green one they have.
That's pretty awesome.
White, I think it's
so that's the old, that's the original Xbox?
Yeah, Xbox One. They're still
the one.
They're
just made that you know anything about this team. Yep.
Oh, really? You go to a Microsoft store, and all it is, they have like tons
Sounders
of these Xbox
everywhere.
Sounder shirts.
I love that shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what they don't have is Super Bowl champion shirts. Anybody?
That's true. we're both from Mass here, so I'm on this guy's side.
So let's talk.
Yeah. Let's talk about the new build of Windows 10 desktop. Like, what that came out this week? Anything interesting in it, or just more of the
So I think a lot of it is, this is probably the first build that at least I felt, and I think others are starting to feel, like the polish is starting to get added in now. Mm. One of those is, I would say, Start in Cortana, where like now when you hit you go to do a search, there's a really nice animation that comes up. And, you know, before we had the same feature, but it always just felt like it was kind of bolted on. Mm-hmm. And now they're starting to refine things and change a lot of features up in there, and it's like it's starting to come together now. It's still, I would say, you know, a way off. We're talking a couple months, but it's starting to feel coherent. Whereas before, and this is a weird thing, I think, for everybody. I think probably in this audience has beta tested software before, but the idea of a technical preview is very different. This is literally alpha and beta testing software. In fact, some of the apps
that have like a little like triangle in the corner with an alpha or beta sign, and that's how early they are. Yeah. Now, if you work at Microsoft and you're an engineer, this is like every day. You just deal with this. You accept it. It's just part of your mill. When you give it to consumers, it feels like, what is this? You know, mm-hmm. and they can't. They need to sort of get past, you know, what that main feature is, but what's going to come down the road. And it's hard to make that connection, I think, for a lot of people, which is why I saw negative feedback. Yeah. But no,
are there any chunks missing? How complete does it feel?
It's chunky.
It feels good. A lot of it, you know, some of it is performance-based. Some of it is sometimes they release them with major bugs. Like the last build, you couldn't run some desktop apps out of the start menu. There's like...
They fixed that, right?
At this point, you wouldn't expect any major missing features, right? This is the tune-up at this point, or no?
Well, another, you're asking if it's feature complete.
Yes.
Right. Not yet.
I don't know.
Right? I don't think so, although Continuum, going to the phone part, is one of the last, I heard, like, main features we can expect for the RTM.
It's awfully late to be adding major features.
We're going to talk more about the schedule, too, but...
Yeah.
How about talk a little more about Continuum, because we saw a really cool demo at Build about how you can use Continuum on phones, not just on laptops
so
and desktops.
Continuum was announced a while ago, and I thought it's kind of a cool word. And at the time, it was defined by Microsoft as basically when you have a two-in-one device and you detach a keyboard, it's going to shift from the tablet mode to desktop mode. And that's what we understood Continuum to be. And it was actually kind of a cool thing. Continuum now is turning into, I would say, more a conceptual idea behind Windows in general. They're expanding it now to phone, where your phone itself becomes a part of your Windows desktop experience. And that includes you can use the phone as a remote control, including a mouse pad and keyboard. And that itself is not really that like brand new. Other OSs have done that before. But now you can also use it you can put that screen onto that computer. You can run apps on both. And when you run an app on your phone on the PC, it will, because it's a universal app, switch to the desktop mode automatically. And so, like,
is this the latest build on here?
And so with Continuum, though, I'm thinking Continuum, we're going to see...
Wait a minute. Let me look at this loop first.
Oh, jeez. No
loops. No pet loops.
Somebody just showed the cat a laser.
Ooh, there's a loop. I don't know if I have the right HDMI connector because we want to show this if we can. Oh, it fell off.
It's broken.
Is that a mini display port right there? Is that what that is? I could just use that. But I can't plug it in. It looks like it has a mini display port. Shall I try it? How bold do we feel?
Is there any reason this shouldn't be? Any reason this shouldn't be on the show?
Hold on, Leo. I'm going to drink something first.
How brave do you feel? There, it fits. That's the first criterion. Like what you see?
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's a new feature.
That's a new feature.
Yeah.
What about, okay, you can't, are you not seeing the desktop yet? Because it is.
There it is.
There.
No, but that's a shot.
Well, no, you can't, you have to sign it first.
Yeah.
Tell it you're using it.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I got this, Leo.
Okay, go ahead.
Oops, wrong one.
That's the other big thing that was probably introduced, the arrow features, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Which are basically
some transparency's bad.
Yeah, right? The transparency, but they blurred out the background now.
Remember arrow?
Okay, so now we're duplicating the screen.
Let's extend the screen.
Why did I duplicate it? Why'd you do that?
Luckily, it probably doesn't work.
He doesn't. He doesn't know how to use Windows.
Okay, now, Alex, do you see anything over there?
Yeah.
Oh, because I unplugged it. That's why.
Does it need to be physically connected, Alex?
Yes. I have an air gap here. All right. Now it's plugged in. Okay.
Is that working?
Now it's duplicated. That's all right. We actually have a pretty clean shot with the camera. So what are we looking at, Daniel? What should I look at here?
Well, one of the things is the transparency effect. This has been an evolving feature of this operating system. And so it darkens out, blurs the background.
Yeah.
So before, it was kind of like you could see right through it, and it confused the text. Like, so if you had a web page up there and you launched a start menu, things were very sort of confusing. Now, these are actual elements from the old days of Windows Vista with the arrow transparency opaqueness effects that we're seeing more.
We don't say the A word around here.
Oh, right, yes. So this is what I'm talking about with polish and stuff, where it's starting to get refined a little bit. You're seeing more... just consistency, I would say, in the layouts and the iconography that's
out there. Cortana, do you mind?
Oh, that's fine.
Cortana has some new menu features added on there as well, so that's continuing to evolve.
Bring up one of the universal apps.
Okay.
Which you can't because you're not signed in.
Why don't you sign in? And
Well, I'm not going to pay you.
Yeah.
I'm not signing in on this thing. Are you kidding me? I don't know where this computer has been.
So, but again, you feel like it ought to be, given that we're, what, 2 months out from launch, feature complete.
I think it's probably a little bit further.
That's
than
hilarious.
That.
So it's not 2 months. Right. Out.
I don't mean cause alarm. It's coming soon. It really is. Right. It is this summer. The they are sticking to this summer.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about the schedule.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So
I found the hamburger.
You found the hamburger. You're set now.
That's all it is.
Well, I mean, it's funny because this is a big debate, right? The hamburger thing.
And we talked about
the
last
hamburger.
I actually think it's more effective on the desktop than it is on mobile.
Oh, you do?
Yes. That's what it came from was the desktop usage, right?
Yeah, and I think you're going to see less of it on phone than we thought before.
We're talking about with Fitbit, their new Windows 10 app. Yeah. I got a tour of, and they don't use the hamburger menu, and that's because it literally is up to the developer to choose how to use those elements. Hamburger menus, by definition, should hide things you don't use often.
Right.
And so the problem is some developers don't obey that. I used a Twitter app recently on Android, and they actually did put like the mentions and the different panes basically into the hamburger menu. Okay. Now, they also incorporated swiping. Now, technically, that's a bad UX experiment because you're sort of giving two options to people and you don't know which is consistent. Mm-hmm. But the fact is people do it.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the hamburger menu, that's the way it should be. Some of us have been arguing that they should offer a way to swipe out with your thumb to bring out the menu. But then this gets into the thing with gestures. And if you're going to be switching panes, as in like pivots, if you're using – you now technically have two different reactions for things. And so technically, by textbook definition, this is bad. The fact is, though,
people understand it.
People use it. So I'm not really sold on that. And Microsoft is considering actually putting that into the design templates, but we'll see what happens.
Yep. So let's talk schedule for a minute. At Build, a few of us got to go and hear from Joe Belfiore, who has a nice new haircut, by the way. Did you guys see that?
He does all his handling himself.
He does.
I would hope so.
It's like
he's so. Oh,
I stopped handling myself when I got married. I thought it was not. Lisa does the hair and everything.
Yeah, he looked good.
I saw him wearing a HoloLens though. The hair kind of stuck out.
Joe told us at this private reporter session that Windows 10 for PCs will be probably. Didn't he say this summer? Did he still agree? Is they're still saying this summer?
Yes, this
summer. They did not say end of July, which is the rumored date. They wouldn't say that. But they also did tell us finally and officially that Windows 10 for mobile will not be out at that same time. It will be a staggered launch. It'll be coming later this year.
Not just phone. It's any other.
HoloLens, Xbox.
Also for Surface Hub.
Surface Hub.
So we all have.
Just desktop Windows.
Right.
Well, just desktop Windows. But as Joe said,
the biggest part of Windows is desktop Windows. So it is going to be a staggered launch. And if there is a launch event in July, which we think there probably will be, it will be for
PCs. Great because I have like 1 week free in July, so please be that week.
It'll probably be delayed to August, don't worry.
Summer could be as late as September 20th,
I'm pretty sure it's going to be end of July.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wouldn't confirm that.
He would not.
I think.
And even the
Do they even set a date? Why not just say,
ship
it when it's done.
It's a goal. I think it's just a goal.
It's a goal, but if you're having an event, you need to book an event space.
If you publicly state a goal and you miss it, you look like a jerk.
Now, but how they're going to get around this, of course, is the fact that Windows 10 technically, is never RTM.
Exactly.
I mean, it is in the sense it ships out to OEMs, but
It's a digital delivery now.
It's a service.
They're calling it Windows as a service. And they don't mean a subscription service. Yeah. They mean that this is, we're going to release it, and it's going to just continually be updated, and it's iterated upon. So they're talking about some features, like Continuum for Phone, won't be in the RTM version, but it's going to come later. And that's how we have to start thinking of this, that whatever they do launch with in July is not going to be like the final product that 6 months later will be updated. They're going to be adding new features along the way.
So, when you get – if you buy a device, say, this holiday season, you'll probably get a bunch of downloads is one of the first things that happens, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think this isn't a problem for enterprise customers. It seems like normal users are going to be just befuddled
by
this.
About this. How many enterprise customers are going to buy Windows 10 on day one? They are not.
But here's the thing. So I actually think most of the updates that come to Windows 10 going forward are actually just snaps.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're very comfortable with that for mobile devices. Right. We understand people update their iPhones every single day.
Yeah. If the version of Windows 10 they get on delivery day is a complete and reliable full version of Windows.
Yeah. They have to make
They're not going to buy the notion that don't worry about it because we're going to it's a service.
No.
We're going to fix that. No. Don't worry about it.
No, I don't think things are broken.
It's not going to ship broken. No. Actually,
it's going to be done.
Off the record. Off the record, somebody from Microsoft told me this week that the way he said, this is kind of an old-fashioned way of saying it, but what ships in the box is important.
Yes.
It is.
But those apps that are a bunch of the experiences that people have using Windows can be updated and will be updated all the time.
Yeah, and we are used to that. I think you're right. I agree with you.
I think you want to get the core part of it right.
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 You can update the rest.
And things that don't make it, things that are, fall out of the build right before they decide it's RTM, that'll be what's swept up in the next releases, right?
Right.
And we know there's going to be a bigger update probably this fall, and if they miss certain key features that not key as far as it being complete, but things that you wanted.
File Explorer.
No. but some things will fall into that fall bigger update, we think.
I'm curious about the phone stuff because Joe was very he says we're not shipping everything on the same day, which I think is totally fair. I mean, that really would be massive. Maybe someday in the future they could do that, but he also didn't make it sound like it was going to be 6 months out either. And in fact, he made it sound like a couple weeks.
Well, I mean, to compare the state of Windows phone or Windows 10 for phones to the state of it on desktop.
Exactly.
How far behind would you say this? A couple
it's
months? 3 months?
Yeah.
I would say 6 weeks, to be honest.
Six weeks?
Yeah.
You're so young.
I know. I don't know. Okay, maybe not. Maybe a little bit more. But it's it's a lot easier because most of the heavy lifting is on the desktop, and then a lot of it is going to be tweaking for phone.
Yeah.
And there's some, there's tweaking there. And then plus you have the carrier stuff to get involved with, which is something.
Is another 6 months.
Yeah.
But with Windows Insiders and the technical preview thing, that is still going to be a way for people to get around that. And now it's even more refined, right? You got fast ring, slow ring. And Gabe told me that they're considering two other rings. One is a
slow.
Really? One ring is it's not shipping on devices. That's like approved. This is like the developers for previous program. Yeah. It's not actually shipping to phones yet or has approval, but it's actually done and stable.
Yeah.
So this will be slower than slow ring, but faster than the official release. And then, of course, you're still under considering like a ludicrous ring, right? The idea of like doing a build every day or every few days.
Oh, geez, really?
And I brought that. I was like, is that something? That sounds like ludicrous. A lot of headaches, But he actually said the data that they could possibly collect from that would be huge for his team.
It's kind of a precedent. Chrome has a regular build, canary. Beta build, and a canary build.
Sure. Yeah.
So this is a precedent for that.
Chrome is about 1/1000th the size of Windows
operating system.
Sure. There's obviously a lot of risk there, but he says they do a lot of A/B testing in these releases, which I don't know if a lot of you guys know.
That's interesting.
But you guys
you're getting different versions?
Yeah, the original preview of Windows 10 on desktop, the Internet Explorer actually, some had the Edge HTML engine enabled and some did not.
Right.
And then they would pull out data and you could force
it. Going,
But they were seeing the results.
They did that with this new build with the transparency effect.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
Right, are they going to call Sparta Edge?
Yes.
That's the name for the new browser.
Edge. Spartan is Edge.
Yep.
And it's funny because that was the name of the engine, wasn't it?
It's because that name tested the best with everyone, I would imagine. Is that why?
Sure.
No.
You don't like it?
No, I like it.
Okay.
Think about normal users, right? Mm-hmm. They're used to, like my mom, she doesn't know it's a browser. She says, do I hit the E? So they wanted to have something with
coffee.
E.
You're giving me coffee. Wow. I think I'm insulted. And now I'm getting applause for drinking coffee.
Nice. Dear Twitter,
get me oxygen.
Leo is a lightweight.
I like Edge. I think Edge is good. And the glowing E.
It would go good in the coffee.
Hey, let's put a little bit of this Barter House in the coffee. That'll help. It turns into a speedball. So Edge is now came with this new preview. Everybody's got Edge now.
Yeah. Well, it's not in this build, actually.
No.
Right?
Yeah, not yet.
No. It's called Spartan.
Yeah. Spartan?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't want it leaking out. It's a leak build, right?
Obviously. Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a store app, right? Yep.
Yep.
So yeah, that's Windows 10. And yeah. We should mention they also dropped a Windows 10 for IoT build, finally.
Oh, have you seen this?
This is the Raspberry Pi version?
Yeah, but they did give all the developers Raspberry Pis.
Yeah, we thought they might, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Did they get a Raspberry Pi into your seat?
Oh, did they finally bring them?
Yeah, I saw that yesterday all the developers were coming out with boxes, and they had a few hundred.
Yeah. The plan was to give everyone one of those.
Right, they couldn't get enough, so they did a specific session.
How is it different?
That's cool.
Is there a UI at all?
Yeah, this gets into the whole thing with HoloLens, right? Where this is Windows 10 without a screen.
Yep. Right.
And so it's a whole other set. It's the same.
Like a nano client.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Command line?
It has a screen. It just doesn't have a shell.
It's a server.
Right. Right. But I'm saying they're building it for usually something that doesn't have a display for the user.
Yeah.
Or GUI.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I can't wait. That sounds exciting. When can we get that?
The DSDK came out this week.
Yeah. If you're in the Insider program, you can get it.
Nice.
Yep. So yeah.
Anything else from the Windows side?
On the Windows side.
Daniel Rubino, WindowsCentral.com.
We're going to ask everyone, you know, what their favorite part of the keynote of the show was. I mean, what was your? I guess we skipped the first two guys.
For me, it was the container stuff and bringing over iOS and Android apps. I thought, you know, the Candy Crush A-bomb, I thought was pretty awesome because it was like, and you've already been using it. Mm-hmm. It's like. But it's the devil's in the details. We got to see how this. It's still in beta. It's only invite only. We got to see how, video games transport over easily, but we don't know about apps. And so there's a lot of questions there. But I think ultimately it's going to be good for consumers and some developers out there.
Yep.
As far as release stuff, you know, we still got a long way to go.
Yep.
No flagship phones, of course. You know, and we knew that.
Right.
But
right.
some people were still not going to be announced here, but
people were still kind of disappointed.
But there's some little bits trickling out now. We're starting to hear. I know there's going to be at least two flagship phones. There's talk of this XLs, a 940 and a 940 XL, which is mirroring the 640 stuff. So, you know, but they're going to keep this next 6 months, 8 months. It's going to be a continuous news cycle of punctuated news. And so the staggered release helps them do that. It also helps let them build up things. So, I think it's pretty exciting.
Yep. Yeah, so.
Thank you, Daniel.
Yep, thank you.
Sorry, we're just looking at a porn ad on my show.
Yeah.
Daniel Rubino.
All right.
Okay.
So we did bridges. We did the new build of Windows 10 desktop.
Yep.
Continuum, we talked a little bit about.
We got Continuum done.
We got IoT done. Yeah. We talked about the new Windows 10 staggered rollout schedule. The show's over, ladies and gentlemen.
Right,
I don't know how.
Yeah,
no,
thanks.
We're going to save. We're going to save the best for last. We're going to talk about HoloLens, and we'll do that in just a moment. Are you having fun? This is a special edition of Windows Weekly, the post build edition. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley in studio, which is great. So is a lot of brown liquor and beer, and a lot of Windows fanatics who came out just for you.
That was awesome.
Welcome to all of you. Nice to see you. And, of course, your colleagues from .NET Rocks, Carl Franklin, Richard Campbell from Ars Technica. We'll talk to Peter Bright in just a little bit. Daniel Rubino of Windows Central. Glad you're all here for this special edition of Windows Weekly. Our show today brought to you by IT Pro TV. A good IT pro is always learning, always perfecting. And with IT Pro TV, you've got an easy and fun way to polish your IT skills, to get the certs you need to get a better job. Engaging courses now with ethical hacker training, which I love. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Sean Philip Oriano, who literally wrote the book on certified ethical hacker, gave a course so you could get your CEH degree. I don't know. Cert. I don't know what you call it. Those are now available for download, along with courses on A+, CCNA, Security Plus, MCSA, desktop support, servers, and more. With IT Pro TV, they have a free account. I'm going to tell you why you might want to take advantage of that free account right now. But you can also pay normally $57 a month or buy a whole year. It's $570. That's still a lot less than buying course materials, much, much less than taking a course at a technical college. But you're going to get great training on your mobile, on your desktop, even on your Roku or Chromecast. They now have two studios, which means they've upped the amount of content they're putting out. 50 hours of new training materials every single week. But you don't just get the classes. And you can watch live, by the way. They've got a chat room going just like we do. In fact, they kind of were inspired by what we did to create IT Pro TV. They also give you the Measure Up practice exams with your subscription. That's worth $79, so you could take the exam before
you take the exam. They have a virtual machine sandbox lab environment that works with any HTML5 browser. That's nice. You don't have to have a Windows server or Windows clients to actually, you know, take the classes and test your stuff. Group pricing and corporate pricing available. Classes from IT Pro TV are being used at Harvard, at MIT, at UCSD, at Stanford. I mean, this is good stuff. Now, we've got a deal for you. First of all, you can sign up right now for the free tier and start watching. Sean is back. He's doing a three-week hacking forensics investigator and crypto course. It's going on right now until May 15th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern every weekday. So you've missed this week's, but next week he'll be back with lots more. This is great stuff. I had lunch with Sean Phillip the other day, and he's so smart. And Tim and Don, there you see Don. And it's a great course. They decided they heard us talking about future crimes with Mark Goodman on triangulation. Mark at the time said, we need 1 million more cybersecurity professionals in the next couple of years. So this is their way to do that, to get a lot of people with the information and the education they need to become hacking forensics investigators, crypto experts, to get that CEH cert. And when you use our offer code WW30, if you want to sign up, you'll get a free 7-day trial and 30% off your subscription for the lifetime of your account. That's Don in the studio. There's Tim with his hat. I love it. These guys are great. Less than $40 a month, $399 for the entire year. This is a great deal, and that's for the rest of your life. If you sign up for the year, by the way, you get to download everything and put it on your mobile, your Surface Pro or whatever, so you can take it on the plane and so forth. I love these guys. 30% off for the life of your subscription when you use the offer code WW30. Completely free if you want to take that hacking forensics investigator course live. Go to itpro.tv/WW and find out more. itpro.tv/WW. Don't forget, if you want to sign up, WW30 is the offer code. Paul Theriot and Mary Jo Foley are here. It's so nice to have you guys here.
Thanks.
It's so nice to have you here.
You've done this twice before.
We've been here a lot, Leo.
Yeah, and it was always while I was on vacation, and I unfortunately wasn't able to do that this time. So here I am. No, this is I'm thrilled. We're all going to go out to dinner afterwards, right?
I'm going to see if your Apple Watch can drive a nail into a piece of wood.
You know what's cool, though? Anybody else here have an Apple Watch?
Seriously.
Anybody?
Welcome to real life, Leo.
If you get a couple of Apple Watches all in a row and you put them all in the Mickey Mouse one,
oh boy,
he taps his foot in synchrony across all of them.
That is incredible technology.
Can the Microsoft band do that? I think not.
That is $17,000 well spent.
Well spent. No, this was a mere $700.
Yeah.
At least I'm among friends when we're talking about this.
Are you?
sort of friends. I am very excited about HoloLens. I've said that before. I think for augmented reality, Trump's virtual reality. You got to play with it some more, right?
Let me kill that buzz for you.
What? No. It's coming out this fall with Windows 10.
All right. Okay.
Right?
Maybe. So let's bring up Dr. Pizza.
Dr. Pizza, who lives in a virtual world all of his own making.
So which of these? Yes.
Oh, you got it, Dr. Pizza.
Which is the most expensive?
Right.
Clearly the Abalor. At least cost per proof.
Right.
Don't put it in Coke.
See my Diet Coke?
Yeah, just a finger. No, no, no! I won't let you. He's gonna pour it in his Coke.
I think he should.
Listen, guys.
In defense of Peter.
No, give him something cheap. Wait a minute, I got Yamikaze. Hold on.
Let Peter be Peter. That's all I'm asking.
Let Peter be. I got some bullet bourbon. You can use that. how sweet it is.
Oh, that is good.
All right, thank you. Peter Bright, ladies and gentlemen.
Whiskey and Coke as God intended.
Yeah. So I understand they had demos of the HoloLens again this time. And this time it's not the big developer unit with wires and a booty pack and all of that. This is a standalone, right?
Right.
Correct.
Still as impressive as last time?
So I did not try it this week because there are very limited slots to try this thing.
Right.
And it was hard to get a slot. But I can tell you when Paul and I think Peter also was there in January when we got to try it.
Yeah.
We were very positive about it, right?
Yeah. By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you remember it was awesome because I'm rarely positive about anything.
You hate everything.
And
I liked it too.
I enjoyed it, even though I'm not that kind of a
gaming type person.
It's not gaming. It's a new
business. But you know, sure. You could see through the prototypes a visual field of about this big.
It was
now.
Yeah. It didn't cover your visual field.
No,
but.
But now, tell them what it's like now.
It's like maybe smaller, sort of like that.
It's even smaller.
Yeah,
it's so frustrating. So the one we used yesterday,
it should fill your whole field of vision.
Is awesome in every way. It was more comfortable. The sound was incredible.
The sound wasn't. That was the best part.
The tracking was good. The picture was actually really good, but the field of view.
And we should say this is augmented reality, which means you're seeing the room you're in,
right?
And stuff is superimposed on top of it.
Here's the way I would describe it for, you know, looking at the table. If those bottles were a hologram and these bottles were a hologram and these bottles were a hologram, in January, you would see them. You know, they would just be there.
Yeah.
In the current one, all I can do is see part of this. And to see the other ones, I have to really move around.
And is that because of limitations of the standalone hardware, do you think? Or is that something designed?
That is a good question.
Yeah.
So
maybe they don't want people to be disoriented.
Right. So like, yes, you could imagine there are reasons not to have it.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't want things in your peripheral vision.
So this isn't VR, so you can still see out. But if the screen actually
has a picture,
it's pretty opaque.
Yeah.
So if it covered everything, then yes, you would be possibly
able to see
what's around you.
Yeah.
And so I can see there is a case to have around the edge, make sure that there's enough peripheral vision. But that's not enough to justify the limits.
So you're saying this is like tunnel vision.
That's
interesting.
I'll tell you what I heard from one of my sources. I heard this isn't the final field of vision.
Right.
It isn't now because every single person used to complain.
They took it off and they threw it to the ground.
By the way, I put it over my head and I saw that little window and I took it off and the guy said, "What's wrong?" I said, "This thing's broken." And he looked at, you know, he put it on his head, and he said, "No, that's right." And I said, "You're just seeing a little window?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "That is not what it looked like in January." Great. I was really excited about this thing.
So I don't know how many demo units they had at Build 500 or 1,000.
Every single one on Earth was there.
1,000 or so. Yeah. But there weren't enough of these, obviously, to give everyone, even though they kind of set it up in the keynote, like, "And we have thousands of these devices, and you can try them at Build."
And they're still being very secretive. So again, no cameras, no recording devices.
Right. When you go to see this, you have to lock your phone up. You have to lock.
We actually just sat in a room and chatted. We're making this all up.
Yeah.
Right.
There's
going to be a lot of changes. I think at E3, you're going to hear a lot more. Maybe get the dev kit, right? Maybe.
E3?
I don't know. That's in a few months.
No. It's not a... No. That's a gaming show.
It's a gaming device.
Well,
They want to say it's not a gaming
device. Oculus Rift is a gaming device.
I think they're right. I mean, it has gaming applications.
Yeah.
For Minecraft, for instance. Tabletop gaming.
But, the demos they're showing are all, industrial.
You're not going to play Call of Duty in this thing.
Someday, there will also be applications for this thing. It reminds me of Kinect, right? I think it's going to start as a gaming thing.
The Kinect comparison is apt, because with Kinect, the story was we're going to do this.
Right.
And then when we did this, it was terrible. But the one thing that connected really well was voice control.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And now that's kind of the big feature.
Oh, no, two things connected really well. Voice control and also mapping the environment around you. And the spatial mapping in HoloLens
is amazing.
It's really
neat. In fact, that was almost bone-chillingly awesome.
What is that? Tell me about that.
So HoloLens has got IR lasers and sensors, cameras in it. And
it's kind of a Kinect pointed out.
Right. And so it'll see that there's a table here and people there, and it will create a kind of 3D mesh representing these things that then 3D graphics and physics engines can interact with.
But they showed it to us, which was cool. So, in other words, in the early demos, you'd see some balls in space, and you would tap it, you know, virtually, and it would fall, but it would
fall through the table.
It would disappear because it didn't understand the table was there.
Yeah.
But when you turn on this mapping, what do they call it?
Spatial mapping.
It bounces.
Well, first of all, you see the mesh fill out, so you see things.
Yeah.
You can see how it's deter- it looks like the Matrix.
Yeah.
So now the ball hits and it bounces.
Wow.
And it goes dunk, and it falls down on the floor. Yeah. And because there's space under there, it can
and
roll
it,
under the table.
It knows the floor is there. Yeah. It will hit
wow.
It's really impressive.
So it didn't do that before.
No, it did, but we didn't understand how it was doing.
Right.
You know, it was, that was because the one effective part of the demo we got, and I think you did how long was yours?
Like 2 hours.
Yeah. So we did the same demo was that they stepped you through one feature at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so by the time they got to that, they kind of turned that on. It was like, that is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that part was really cool. Mm-hmm. This thing here,
so
the robot.
Can you show, I don't know, Alex, do you have capability to show my screen?
Here's the problem I have with the HoloLens.
Hold on a second.
Isn't necessarily just the little viewport thing, although looking through a periscope is terrible.
Okay, let's back up here. So this is what you're talking about.
But think of the demo they did on stage where he said, follow me in the video.
Yeah.
You follow him, right? Mm-hmm. And the whole place applauded. Here's the thing. You can't see that.
Right.
When you have that on, all you can see is this little thing in front of you. So the video is following you over here. You can't see it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
so what of this are you seeing? I mean,
dishonest.
There's a little robot and some.
Well,
some
by the way, you
game.
Would only see a little tiny.
You wouldn't see that
you
whole
couldn't
field.
Couldn't literally see that whole thing unless you were 20 feet back.
That's not good.
It's dishonest.
So this is not what you
actually
experienced.
Maybe that's
going to
change.
Right. Maybe it will, yeah. By the way, if it was going to and they knew that, they would have said that to us. It's so different. Well, no, I mean, I think they would have prepped us for that.
So it sounds
you're
like
you're going to see a limited.
There's two possibilities. One, it's a safety thing. They discovered that people were walking into their furniture.
Yep.
Or the other is.
Well, it could
that
be queasiness, too, right?
Yeah. Or queasiness.
It could literally be that it makes you.
You didn't feel queasy in January.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect you would because you're seeing real world objects intermingled with a virtual object. The other possibility is this is a standalone device. The one you used had a big battery pack, a big attached computer.
Yeah.
Maybe there's not enough bandwidth.
By the way, the Mars thing, right? Imagine trying to do the Mars demos that we did.
Well, you're only seeing this much.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been interesting at all. It would.
So
I walked out of there
see?
Blown away.
You see
away.
Mars this big,
right.
And you look over there, and it's the room you're in. And the room
I wouldn't
you're
have.
In?
I couldn't have. I would have laughed. I would have walked away from that. And the way that it was in January was impressive because you could see the whole vista of Mars. I was on Mars. It was amazing.
I mean, there's clearly some point. So. I could say the one in January didn't fill your entire field of view,
right.
But there is some threshold at which it becomes.
It seems
hey, I'm
like
not,
it does. Yeah,
that's like for this. It was like I'm looking through a letterbox.
It robs
and
you.
At some point, there's a point at which it's like, wow, I'm actually there.
Right. It robs you of peripheral vision.
Right.
So if there's an object over here and you're looking here, not only can you not see it, your mind doesn't process that it's there. So someone says, "Hey, something's to your left." You have to really look around. You don't go right to it because you have no idea. You know, peripherally, I can sort of tell something's over there, but not when you're looking through this thing.
Well, I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, that was my goal. No,
well,
I really
truly thought this was going to be a breakthrough technology. And it sounds like something went wrong.
Well, hold on.
Well,
but,
here's the thing. So we know the technology works.
Yeah.
And can do that wider field of view.
Right.
And, you know, we don't know why it's different. Like, it could be they said, well, we wanted to have a smaller area with a higher resolution than a large area with a lower resolution.
Was the resolution noticeably different this time?
I didn't use it enough to get a good sense, but, you know, it's possible maybe there's some technical reason and they've just tuned it differently and, you know, they may retune it.
Can you estimate what degree of vision you had?
I mean, it was like a CinemaScope display, something like that.
Yeah.
It was kind of widescreen.
There you go. Well, like that, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the way I described it
it's
earlier
like
was
like you're looking down a carton of cigarettes.
Well, no, remember if you played, you're getting closer. Not as tall.
Like a candy bar.
It's 16.9, Alex. Yeah,
no, if you played.
Yeah.
Well, it's widescreen, but if you had played Doom or Wolfenstein 3D or one of those games on a low end machine. You had to shrink the screen down, and it would just fill in kind of bricks around it.
Right.
See, the game would be like this in the middle of the screen, and there'd be nothing around it, and then whatever the console was at the bottom. It's like that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, is that...
Yeah, it is that kind of thing. It doesn't say buy a 486 underneath it, but it's
kind of...
And nobody had anything to say about the sudden change in the capabilities.
He means at Microsoft.
Right.
I mean,
everybody there was like, what the hell?
Microsoft isn't saying... a damn thing.
They just smiled and said, yeah.
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 Pretty much.
Yeah, that's...
Well, you make them sound evil. It was more...
Were they commiserating? Like, I know, it really sucks, doesn't it?
No.
No, not even.
That would have been nice. No.
No, just like,
or, I understand, yeah. It's smaller now, we had to do that.
Listen, it, for all we know, it could have been whatever the sensors are in the machine that right. Looks out. It could
so they had nothing to say about it.
Yeah, no.
It's at least nothing publicly. Right, nothing publicly, because there were NDA HoloLens sessions all over that place.
By the time we got to HoloLens in the keynote, it was fairly triumphant, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get to the HoloLens demo, and it's like, man. You know, it's disappointing because it really was so amazing in January. And granted, it was a giant alien headset thing with tentacles.
Well, I'd prefer the alien headset if I get a full range of vision.
I mean, the thing that we were using...
I mean, so is the Oculus Rift, like, frankly.
The thing we were using, I don't care about the battery life.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care about any of it because, like, it was really awesome, except the field of view. And if they could fix that,
if only it wasn't, I would buy one. If it wasn't only sight-based, that wouldn't be a problem.
I know. It's like this, the one... I mean,
But the sound was excellent.
Yeah. The sound was good. The picture
like, this dictionary is great, except for the words.
It seemed like
the words are good. The definitions that suck.
Yeah,
you know, technically it seemed to do all the right things, but just this field of view was...
Yeah.
See what happens. Yeah. Let's see what happens there.
So what did you like from the build? What was...
I thought the bridges were cool. Yeah.
The bridges?
Yeah. I think the way they're doing them is...
Do you think this will matter? I mean, do you think this will be meaningful?
Oh, that's a great question, isn't it? That is the question. The thing that sort of always worried me, because, like... Here's what's fascinating, that the Project Astoria Android stuff started last summer, leaked basically immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really interesting that it's only a year old, because you would think maybe that should take more than a year, but no.
Yeah.
Island would, and not leaking at all.
I know.
Mind-blowing.
They were very proud of that.
They were.
Mind-blowing.
HoloLens, too.
Same thing.
But, so they're not doing, like, BlackBerry. Hey, here's just the Amazon Android app store on our platform. We have no involvement with that.
Yeah.
If devs have submitted to Amazon, that's great. You can use it, but like, it's not our problem.
Yeah.
And OS2 back in the day was the same thing. It's like you go to your bricks and mortar store, you buy your shrink wrap software. And you'll install it on OS2. But IBM had no involvement with that. Better Windows than Windows until Win32 came along.
And it was a much lesser Windows than Windows.
Half the Windows.
Half the Windows. It was a window.
You know, Microsoft requires the developers to take the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for Android, that step could be tiny. You can submit a APK, and as long as your APK uses the right subset of APIs...
Right.
Yeah. That APK it'll be put inside an Apex package and put on the phone.
So you don't have to recompile it. You can actually use it as Java APK.
Potentially, yeah. If you keep to the right subset of APIs, no recompiling, no touching
it. So is Microsoft duplicating
onto the phone
the JVM that's running on Android?
And would you describe this as an emulator or a subsystem? I'm curious.
The Android subsystem, it's if you remember back to 1993, when Windows NT was released, it had these subsystems.
Yep.
It had Win32, it had OS2 text mode,
mm-hmm.
and it had POSIX.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, Win32 was kind of special because memory constraints, but the idea was that you should be able to add these personalities, like API personalities, to the operating system. They would call into the same core kernel stuff to handle files and threads and processes. But like from an API perspective, Windows should be able to offer lots of different APIs. And they've resurrected that idea.
Interesting.
Like 23 years later.
Hmm. Also multiple platforms.
For Android.
And iOS? Is iOS work the same way?
So iOS doesn't work the same way.
No, which is so messy. You would think these would be exactly the same.
Android runs in a virtual machine. It runs in the ART or Dalvik virtual machine on an Android device. So that's a little easier to do.
The specifics will be, like, they'll have a sort of some kind of Linux-ish personality, I expect.
It's a kind of
because you know Android is Linux.
Yeah.
So it'll be.
But Linux, iOS like, is not. It's running on an OS 10 kernel.
It's too different.
So those need to be compiled and worked on and tweaked.
But you know, so developers could just say, "Well, I'll put it in the store, but I won't change it." And if their app meets the right set of APIs,
Android developers,
it will just work.
Yeah.
Now Microsoft hopes that they'll take a few steps beyond that.
To make it a little more native.
Yeah, so, you know, supporting live tiles, for example. Mm-hmm. They will have little Java-exposed APIs so that the Android app can just have these few extra features. And so, yeah, it'll be recompiled slightly, you know, not radical changes, but modified slightly to be a Windows citizen to some extent. Yeah. And if Android devs do that...
If Android devs do that,
then I think it could work because then it's not the way to look at it. It's not Windows running Android apps. It is just code sharing with Android,
right?
And it'll still be a Windows app because it will plumb into.
I mean, you
Windows
might see experimentation. They do the basics, like you said. Right. Just let it run, and then later they can go and add live tile support, Kotlin support,
right?
Whatever.
So my question is: so you do this as an Android developer, right? And then. You compile it. It's a Windows Phone app. But is it also... It's also a universal app now, too, right?
Well, no, the Android subsystem will only be on Windows Mobile.
Okay, so you can't do it that way. Yeah. What about the iOS one?
iOS, in principle, is unrestricted.
Right. And why are those
so
different?
So we'll have iOS apps on our desktop.
So
mostly for tablets. But
yes. I suspect it's mainly a sort of ecosystem thing. Like Android developers have done a reasonable job of supporting phones. They've done a fairly lousy job of supporting tablets.
Yep.
So the idea of like trying to expand them to be desktop apps is never going to happen.
Yeah.
Well,
iOS devs are more conscientious.
There you go.
Well, also it's not an open source system, so you have to reverse engineer all the iOS support without looking at.
And there
code.
Are. I didn't get too far into this, but the demo I saw was support for UIKit. I don't know all the APIs that they have. But they're supporting many of the native iOS APIs.
So there is a big stack of middleware.
And mapping them to things in Windows.
Then to Windows. Yeah, right. Yeah.
There'll be a middleware library that maps from iOS calls
like
to Windows calls.
I feel like
this
kind of thing is so checkered and unsuccessful. I'd be very interested if this takes off.
I think you have raised the issue we have all thought, which is, yes, it's... The initial reaction is, wow, these guys are really open and, you know, they're embracing all this stuff. And then you're like, well, okay, now that we've gotten over the weirdness of they just showed Objective-C on stage.
Right.
you know, is this going to mean anything? Like, does this, I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
it just depends if they have
I don't think there are a lot of...
Everything they're doing right now is a Hail Mary for Windows Phone.
And there aren't a lot of iOS devs sitting there thinking, finally, Windows.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Snapchat on Windows Phone.
It's like the missing piece of my heart.
But this is why they also said they want to have 1 billion people using Windows 10 in the next 2 to 3 years.
Or two to three years
after launch.
You need to have a massive
success. Because that way it's big enough... Yeah. That the iOS devs and the Android devs think actually that is big enough to care about.
Right.
And being able to, again, position it as share my code, reuse my code.
We're lucky enough that our app for iOS, written by Craig Mullaney, going to be rewritten for the new API, is native. And that we have a great coder, Dimitri Lialin, who is actually a Microsoft. What do you work at Visual Studio? Can we bring Dimitri up? Peter, thank you. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Sir.
Peter Bright, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Pizza from Ars Technica. Dimitri, we've talked a lot about. It's the first time I've met him because he did a great Windows Phone app for TWID.
Original Windows Phone 7.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And it was native.
One of the first apps in the store.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, it's just gorgeous.
It's going to be one of the last apps in the store, too.
No, because we're doing a new one.
Yeah.
And this is the first I've learned of it, but I'm very excited. And I think it's the first you've learned of our new API.
Yeah.
So we're going to get you hooked up with the API documentation so you can see how this might make it easier, I hope.
It's going to make it much easier. Because today, the Windows Phone 7 app, a lot of people don't realize, I've... basically written an API for myself on top of your platform. I scan all your RSS feeds.
All we have is RSS. That's the API.
I use the power of Azure. I scan your RSS feeds. I put them into an Azure SQL database, and I create a REST API for my app on top of it.
That's awesome.
And that's how I did it. But it's tedious. I have to maintain double the work, right? I have to maintain the API, the scraper, and
good news. We're going to take that all over. It is going to be RESTful. It's going to be JSON, so it'll be easy for you to do. And we're going to provide a lot more information than you could get from the RSS feed. Things like, who the hell is Paul Theroux?
Yeah.
And
apparently I talk about Office 2010 and Windows 7, according to my,
we're gonna
according to my bio.
That's the old. Yeah. That's the old. And so, Dimitri, tell us, because you told me for the first time what your plans are with this, and I'm very excited about it.
It's all coming together in my head kind of this week, as Build really made me think again of, you know, it's time to get you guys on the universal side of the fence.
This is what I like to
hear. One of the ideas that I came up with, and I think it'll work out well, is make the app open source. I mean, I really don't think there's any value in hiding the source code at this point. I think it'd be a cool experiment to make universal Twitter app on GitHub, open source it, and have the community contribute, because I can't fix everything, and I often get emails, people saying, hey, we'd love to fix this to get fixed, and they're developers often. So,
and this is going to be a XAML app. This will be
XAML,
totally
C#.
And it'll be totally cross-platform for Xbox, Windows 10.
And you're universal.
Totally
Windows.
Universal. Yep. I am thrilled.
Yeah,
it'd be cool.
I could not be. Thank you so much, Dimitri.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
And we'll have more to tell people. As a developer, so what division do you do? Where do you work?
So I work at Microsoft for 6 years now. For the last 2.5, I've been on the Visual Studio product team. So
tell us about code.
Yeah, I'll tell you about code.
I'm really excited about this. This is a kind of a free, simple Visual Studio for...
Well, code editor. It's not
a it's just a code editor. Yeah. Okay.
It has some debugging.
Is it an IDE? It's not an IDE?
Well, you know, I'll get away from all the terminology and I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
It's a code editor. Paul said it the best. And it's a code editor that runs Windows, Linux, Mac. It has the ability to edit code. Has the ability to integrate with Git repository, no matter where it is. Git's built in. And it can do debugging. And I think that's basically what all HUD developers need, is a baseline to get going.
I'm happy with that.
He has the IntelliSense, that's color coding. So it's kind of a cool app, yeah.
And what languages does it support?
You guys get the fact sheets that I wrote, probably remember better than me, but I know ASP5 supported, Node.js. I know people have been putting screenshots on Twitter of different languages getting color-coded and stuff. I don't know the levels of support. But
Is there plug-in support for languages?
Not yet.
Okay. But it is free, and Microsoft is distributing it now, which is great.
Yes, the preview is up.
That's totally exciting.
I had a hot flash when I put up Linux version of Visual Studio anything. Fall out of my
It's
chair,
a different world we live in.
I think a lot of people are going to hear this and they're going to say, "Oh, Visual Studio is cross-platform." Yeah. And just to be clear, this is another
not Visual.
Tool.
It's not full Visual
it's
Studio.
It's part of the Visual Studio family. So now we have Visual Studio 2015.rc. That's the big boy right on the block. And then we have this new tool, which is Lite. It's going to appeal to a lot of people, and I think it's the right thing to do.
Just use code editors. We don't use full IDEs.
Exactly. Some people just want a code editor.
It's faster. And to them. Can I compile from the editor? Do I have to exit out?
The editor, I mean, it can run code. You can debug from it, so I can assume it does the compilation for you. Nice. It's designed to be that kind of lightweight code editor.
I think that's great.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
But you know, Visual Studio is still Visual Studio, and I'm a fan, so I'm biased. I can't get away from that.
And I'm thrilled that you're going to put your Windows Phone version of the Twit app. First of all, move it to the modern universal status, and then make it open source.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
I can't thank you more, Dimitri. We're going to hook him up with the API, and he's going to be one of the early... Bruce is waving at us. He's going to be one of the early... you and Craig Mullaney will be with the early first two guys to see it outside of the company.
Cool.
And we're thrilled about that.
Yeah, exciting Thank you. Times. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dimitri.
Yeah,
Dimitri Lee Allen. Isn't that great?
That is.
So we wanted to talk about code, so we got that in there.
Yep.
2015 RC.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
This week also. Yep.
I just wish Brad Sams was here so I could verify for him that it is, in fact, out.
Yes. Which,
a few people here will understand that.
Any other thoughts you want before we wrap it up and go drink booze?
Do you want to do any cues from the audience?
Oh, I agree. Yes, I forgot. We were going to do
live
that.
Audience.
Let's take some live audience questions. So how are we going to do this, Alex? We're
going to do it poorly, Leo.
Whatever we do, we're going to do it badly. We're going to get a camera operator out here. Zach's going to come out with a camera, And we're going to get a microphone.
It's important that we not get up yet because I'm afraid when I actually stand
I'm
up,
not I'm standing
gonna,
for
I'm going to discover I'm in trouble. Happen. Yeah.
I feel fine right now. So we're going to get microphones.
I'm kind of happy I'm just drinking beer right now.
You know, if you drink enough of that, you'll be in the same boat we are.
I don't know.
Are.
I think it would take more.
It will take more. It will take more. It
yes.
just, yeah.
I perfected one.
It say. Went on. It continued on.
Yeah.
This is great. I'm very glad you guys could come up. I appreciate it. We're going to all go to dinner. And those of you who are on stage here with us will be welcome to join us. All right. You ready to take questions? We had, I think, somebody raise his hand over here.
Yeah, you got to let that guy go first.
That guy? You
that
know
guy.
You know that guy?
No, I saw his hand jump up.
Oh, okay.
So my name is Greg. I'm from Syracuse, New York.
Hi, Greg.
I fix computers. I kind of fix all the problems that Microsoft developers put in there to try to figure them out.
Technically, that's all of our job.
So one of the issues I have with Windows 10, maybe Paul can answer it, is so if I'm at a client site trying to connect into a remote share on the network with Cortana, when you hit a backslash or the backslash into whatever the server name was, mm-hmm. Windows 7, Windows 8 knew how to do that switch. It doesn't know how to do that with Cortana now.
I've never tried that. You mean in Cortana, you actually
so like
type
if,
the...
You know, when you hit
in the search, in that little Cortana search window.
Are you speaking
window.
To it, or are you just...
No, so when you're just typing in the Windows in, yeah. key, typically you're able to...
Right down there?
No, thanks.
that thing right there.
I mean, why are you doing that? I don't know.
That's how I normally... That's how
you find a resource.
That's how I find a system resource on the network. But now I have to kind of like go through like three other steps to do that same process. We're in 7 and
no,
8.
In other words, you're sitting in front of your computer and you want to get to a network share.
Yeah, I hit Windows key and then whatever.
And you type. Oh, I got you. Right. That's why I was... I mean, why not... I hit Windows key E and type it into the...
I know. I just... How I'm used to doing it, so...
I've never tried that in Cortana. So in other words, what you're saying... So... Cortana is replacing what used to be Start Search, and
yes.
Start Search would trigger a Windows Explorer file explorer yep. window that would go to that place.
So yep. now and you Cortana have to do does the not. Windows key E instead, or the Windows key
or
R instead.
Maybe Windows R, yeah.
Yeah.
I've not tried that, I'm sorry.
Use the run command.
I mean...
Cortana's dumb. She just does weather, movies.
I actually turn the Cortana search thing off. Mm-hmm. Well, although I guess it would still come up if you typed in Start.
Web 403 is just desperate for you to say something about the absence of any conversation about the Microsoft band.
That's not completely fair. So it didn't come up in the keynote. So I didn't answer your question at all. I apologize. I have not tried it. I guess what I'm saying is there are other ways to do
just
it.
Just don't do it that way.
Windows R, Windows E, address bar, but I don't know why. I haven't tried it. I guess is my non-answer. I'll look at this.
Yeah, we'll find an answer for you. Good question.
Although I can't connect on this. Microsoft Band, there was a session on Band and Microsoft
there
Health.
And there is an SDK for it.
And they released the SDK.
That's great.
I was surprised they didn't give bands out to everybody who went to build.
I actually sort of was too, yeah.
I was very surprised, but they did not.
You don't get the feeling they're all in on the Microsoft Band.
So you're saying this doesn't work?
Version 1.0 hardware. Right. Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. In other words, it's not... US right, it doesn't launch a window.
It doesn't do anything. You're right.
Well,
ignoring you.
I didn't doubt that you were right, to be clear.
We just don't know why.
You're obviously irritated by this problem.
I've been troubleshooting Windows for 10 years now.
No, you hit the key and you don't think about it.
I don't
in other
think
words,
about
even,
it. Yeah, yeah.
Even
now
Windows 8, for all the complaints about Windows 8, the truth was if you hit the start menu and type...
Still did it.
Start, search would occur and it would work. And it's not working here is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yep.
You're correct.
You're correct, sir. They want you to do Windows E or R.
That is the most annoying thing about Windows 10. I completely agree.
It is the most annoying thing?
Yeah.
It's the most annoying thing?
Dr. Pizza says it's the single most annoying thing about Windows 10.
The 1074 you're running on that machine?
Yeah.
It started working
for me. That, really.
Some people in the chat room are saying it's A-B testing and it's working for some
people. It must be A-B testing.
Okay, so, by the way, sorry if I could further not answer your question. He's not listening. Sir, would you please pay attention?
Whoops.
He's saying that it's working for him, and she is saying that someone said it might be an A-B testing thing.
I have somebody on Twitter also saying it's working for them.
Okay. Interesting.
So maybe that's something that comes online before they finish it.
They're waiting to see if anybody complains.
Yeah. We just wanted to see if anyone noticed.
Did anybody notice?
It's not working here. It's So even when you're offline, you can type it in and an Explorer window opens. Is that what happens? Well, I mean, is that what's happening? Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
Backslash, whatever, name of something, enter, and it opens a window.
I'm not actually connected to
it. No, I know, but it would still open a File Explorer window.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, Web 403 is not giving up. Is the band running Windows 10?
No, it's not. No, it's not. And it isn't.
Will it be updated to Windows 10?
No, it's not running Windows anything.
It runs...
Right. It's this big. He knows. He has one.
Yeah.
It's running Windows Media Center. Can we move on, please?
I knew it.
There it is. Yeah.
By the way, it's a Silverlight based system.
Does Visual Studio 2015 RC support Objective-C project migrations?
Oh, dear God, people. Seriously.
We have people who may know that. I don't know.
Go ahead. Get another. Where's our Phil Donahue? Oh.
So,
Peter Bray, excuse me. You can't ask questions. What
The only bridge that's actually working now is the web app bridge.
Right. The other ones say coming this summer.
Win32, Android, and iOS are all locked up, private.
Yeah, and basically these are some of the post-RTM type additions.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. That's right.
Was that your question?
Was that an answer to question?
That was more of a statement.
Okay. Thank you, Peter. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we take you to the other side of the room with another question. And then there's a guy in the back, too. Okay. All right. Here we go. Pete Seeger.
Just a comment about the Centennial Bridge.
No, this is for questions. Can we move on, please?
The way it works is you run your MSI or your installer one last time in the presence of a conversion application, which creates an AppX package.
Yep.
And as long as you're not doing anything with the universal environment, it works in a package, in a sandbox, out of the box, no code or anything. If you want to use live tiles or contracts, sharing or any of that kind of stuff, you do have to write code.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yep. Right, of course. Yeah, that makes sense. Yep.
Bruce, run.
I bet we see basic apps first, and then people add those features.
In the back. Look at this, all the way back. Yes, sir. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Robert Roeder. I have a two-part question.
Where are you from, Robert?
Fremont, California.
All right.
The question is that Joe Belfiore mentioned that there was no current Windows hardware which will run Continuum, which implies that there's going to be brand new hardware of a higher grade, because they're not going to put the Continuum probably on the lower end.
Daniel.
Well, first of all, Continuum is...
The second part is right after the keynote, he Twittered that there was going to be more stuff coming from him on the phone UI. Did that come out of build at all?
No, that's for the... Oh, go ahead.
The Continuum stuff is really...
All right, we got to get his mic turned on real quick. Go ahead, Daniel.
Okay. The Continuum stuff for hardware is really interesting, and I asked specifically about that in a private session, and they're very close-lipped on it. They're not even naming the hardware, what it is specifically, what the mechanism is. In fact, it wasn't even there for them to demo to us. So this is really something that is coming down the road. But it really sounds like this is going to be some new technology. It's not in current smartphones that will be added into a chipset, possibly for higher end. Dr. Pieces.
It seemed like it was like octa core processing kind of stuff.
It's the Qualcomm processors need to support two independent displays.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Which is because the first thing I asked about this when I saw it was, so does this mean that you could perhaps dock or just wirelessly use a Windows phone with maybe an Xbox controller with your TV and have it be like a game system?
Yeah.
And the answer was not yet, because of what you just said.
Right. They are still thinking that they might want to offer it somehow on the lower end parts that don't have the dual output.
Right, but not at launch.
But not at launch, it will require the new chip.
Yeah, so the bit I understood about that was that the initial design of this was for a two-screen display, which is what you were talking about. You would have the screen of the phone and the external display separate, and you could optionally use that for a virtual mouse keyboard. What they're looking at is doing a screen mirroring version of it, which would also work on lower-end phones, right? Where it would be like, I guess, a mini desktop, essentially, on your little phone screen. But that might allow it to them to bring it down market. The problem's that that's not going to be available when Windows 10 for phone ships initially.
Definitely.
What was the second? There were two
about
questions.
Joe's comments at the end about he'd say more.
About the UI?
I don't think he meant it build. I think he meant Ignite and in May. It was alluded to me that there was stuff coming in May that might address people's questions.
Post on Wednesday that was the thing he was alluding to.
Oh, the design guidelines.
No one heard what he just said, so
Oh, no. So, design guidelines have come out now for Windows 10 for phone and desktop. And so that's out there now in all documentation that people can go. And, on the Windows blog, there's actually a very well-detailed article explaining choices that they're making in UI, including the hamburger menus, fonts, and everything, why they're doing certain things. And that's actually a really fascinating read. And when I was talking to some of the design team, they said they're going to try to start doing this stuff more often, and I really encourage them to.
Explaining
themselves. But they're actually, that team is very open to ideas. They're not sitting there claiming what they're doing is 100% right, and they're very much looking for feedback. So definitely, if you're using Windows 10, use those the feedback mechanisms to give them advice. Yeah.
And Joe is one of the keynoters at Ignite next week.
Yeah.
So we don't know. He might.
Well,
he said he's mostly the same.
A lot of it's going to be the same. Yeah. More enterprise stuff.
Yeah. More enterprise stuff to come.
Yeah.
Yay.
Okay. So, okay. Wow.
Somebody has to say it. Yay for the enterprise.
Somebody else has a question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a quick question. I was wondering about if all these bridges will be enough. If we wake up tomorrow morning and all the Android...
We better wake up tomorrow morning.
And all the Android and iOS apps was on Windows Phone.
Right.
Do you think people will still drop iPhone and Galaxy and buy Windows phones? I wonder if, is this enough?
Well, we all do. Right. Yeah. So, this is like anything else. 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 1 year from now... We'll have to wait and see. What do you think about this stuff? Do you think this is a game changer?
I don't know what else they could do. I think this is really they don't have many more options at this point. And so in that sense, I think it was smart for them to do it. They're really open-minded about doing everything. Is it going to be enough? It's not the Windows Phone problem is not a single issue, right? It's the apps. You don't have the right apps, so you don't get the users. You don't have the users, so you don't get the apps. But then also the hardware plays into that. You have to have a nice flagship story. And so that's what we're still waiting for now, is the flagship story of Windows 10. And I, every time I talk to them, I get the hint, and they drop hints about this, that they're seriously considering this hardware. They could just make a high-end Lumia, slap their name on it, put it out there.
Why don't they do that?
I think they should have. the Cancel McLaren device, I still think, I say this, but it's a lot harder. Ripped out the 3D guts and just make a phone and just high-end.
Sure, sure.
But apparently, when I talked to some of the engineers, it's like there's actually – that's actually a lot of work. But I still would have liked that myself. But I think whatever is going to come into fall for this flagship stuff – there should be some really groundbreaking technology, and there's some really cutting-edge stuff. In fact, I think they're waiting for some of this technology to come online for mass production. You combine that with hopefully this Android stuff and iOS, along with the Windows 10 momentum and, in the press and out there, and, we'll have to see what happens. But I don't see any other way that anything else they could do except for give up phone. And that's just not actually – that loses the Windows 10 story.
Right. So.
By the way, I had a chance to interview Steve Guggenheimer at Build, and I asked him about all these apps disappearing from the Windows Phone Store.
Oh, cool. What did he say?
Chase, Bank of America, et cetera. He said, we're having conversations with everyone whose apps are disappearing from the store, and we're talking to them about Windows 10 right now. I don't know if that means he thinks they're going to get them back. He said, we're doing everything we can. We know those apps are key. And we're not talking to them right now about Windows Phone 8. We're talking to them about 10.
Which makes sense. But the problem is, of course, a banking app.
Right.
Yeah, it's 6 months of development. This is going to be a long gap between some of these apps are hitting. Although, I don't know. With these porting apps could certainly help that.
Yeah.
The web apps, particularly like every bank, has a good website already.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To give it some extra value.
And web apps can be done literally within hours, and they can take advantage of notifications. Yeah. So they could actually put that out in the store as a stopgap until.
I'm not, I'm not trying to rain on this parade.
Okay.
I'm just going to say iPhone 2007.
Oh, with the web apps?
Yeah. I mean,
but in fairness, these web apps are not the web wrappers that we have right now. This is actually more sophisticated because they can leverage the APIs of the operating system so they can do notifications. They can actually tie into the hardware.
Are they doing all that, though? Are they making those web apps, those sophisticated web apps?
Yeah, yeah. They can even...
So Chase continues to make a high-end web app.
It could even use your camera.
But like, are they?
Well, yes.
That's my question.
They are.
Oh, yeah, the mobile websites are really good.
In other words, what he means by you're taking pictures of checks, too.
Yeah, so they're all taking advantage.
It may be a crap website, but it's a function.
They're all taking advantage of this capability.
No, that's a separate question.
And it's not unique to Windows Phone.
That's a separate question. Every bank in the world now has a good e-banking.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And whether they actually appify those websites.
Yeah, we're trying to make lemonade here.
I know. I don't want to get in the. I don't want to pee in your lemonade.
Whether they actually turn those into apps using it's Westminster, isn't it? This one, I think. Whether they do that and submit them to the store and all that, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Well, it speaks to what Chase's plans are. But, if Chase is abandoning the platform, they're not going to put an ounce worth of effort into it.
Right.
It's kind of neat how this stuff works, too. Apparently, if you have a website and release this app, you put a little bit of code in your website, and it auto-detects the app as a Windows user. And then it can do things like the notifications and updates and live tile stuff.
You know, so the problem with all of this stuff, aside from the fact that probably no one's going to do it, is that when you whether what you just described, or someone ports an Android app to Windows Phone, and they do X number of work, zero work, some work, a lot of work, whatever it is. Or they take their source code from their iOS app, and they compile a new universal app. You've just created another thing to support. You know, you've just created another place where you have to go when something goes wrong and figure out what it is and how to fix it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the daunting part of it from the developer's perspective. You know, that you've... opening this up to Windows is cool. It's interesting. But it may not be worth it, you know, for developers or for those.
Yeah, and that gets into the details part. We just don't know what's involved in making these apps, maintaining them, bug fixes. Like, even for games, we're just not sure yet if it's, you know, run exactly the same.
So Candy Crush has been pretty well maintained.
Yes.
Yeah. No, right, but that's also a company that makes boatloads of money. I mean, it may not be worth it to other developers. And I don't know so much for games, but are there examples of high-profile games disappearing from the Windows Phone Store?
Not really, recently, right? Not no. But it looks like now we think, and so Candy Crush is definitely confirmed as being this iOS port, but now it looks like two other games. Cut the Rope 2, which came out last week, is supposedly also on these, and... Monument Valley is supposed to be another one, which came out yesterday. So,
which is awesome, by the way. That's a great
that
game.
Came out kind of nowhere.
And you're going to love it.
That's
what we've all played it for years.
Yeah.
I think you'll really enjoy.
On behalf of Windows users everywhere, screw you, LaPorte.
I think, though, that's really the... And very ardent applause there, I might add. I think that's really the question is somebody who is considering a Windows Phone...
Yeah.
Going to be swayed by this conversation.
Listen, I want to play the games that were big 6 months ago. I don't understand what the problem is.
So, I mean, that's a concern. But look, they're putting it this way. Instead of requiring the developer to do 100% rewrite, got their app, completely do it from scratch.
Yeah. Oh, no, you can't do
that. And, you know, those apps were abandoned.
Or you could just get an Android device.
It's now a sort of a few percent.
Right? Shut your mouth. I mean, seriously. Or you could just get an Android device.
Yes, that's a question. What's the selling point of a Windows Phone versus like an Android?
Oh, wow. How exciting. Or I could just buy one of 1,000 different Android devices.
Well, so they're all crap.
Well, that's,
no, that's not true.
Not really true. I hate to say it.
No, even the Samsung S6, people raving about the build quality. Yet this is not great build quality. This is catching up to what Nokia and Apple have been doing since forever. You know,
that's your opinion.
Well, no, I
fully disagree.
What do you think? HTC M9 is that a good device?
It doesn't matter that they're catching up if it's there.
Right? Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, but the HTC.
I'm just saying, a normal person's going to walk in the store, buy an Android phone.
Well, you're
not
going
to make the calculus.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, I wonder if Angry Birds will be ported to. They don't care.
You know, I was going
to
say
though they'll buy a Samsung. No one. They won't buy an HTC M9.
Right.
No, well, but HTC has its own problems. I would say Samsung's new Galaxy series are
beautiful.
They're really
good.
Peter
doesn't like the S6 for some reason. I think it's actually a spectacular phone.
I have the Edge.
Better, and it's better in every respect than the iPhone, even.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even battery life?
No, battery life's terrible.
Yeah, battery life is terrible.
Battery life's terrible.
So I think the selling point, though, getting back to this, with the difference between Windows Phone and Windows 10, it's going to be a tough story to tell, but, well, not really. You can just do a commercial showing your same app running on your phone, running
yeah,
on
but
the,
that why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't... I just buy an Android device. Sure. Why do I care? What is the selling point?
Actually,
why should I buy a Windows
phone?
This
is slightly goofy, but...
You're saying Windows phone, it's almost as good as an Android phone.
Well, no, I'm saying you have a tablet with running Windows 10,
that's
you have a
bad,
phone,
bad
you have Xbox, and they're all running the same apps. And this whole Continuum
like
thing... what's kind of cool about Continuum is that it actually is an easy sell in a commercial.
Yeah,
it's very visual, just like show someone using a phone on a screen and... launching an app and it launches.
Or Apple
there.
Does that too.
Yeah, well, yeah, but this works at a different level, I would say, because they're running the same apps,
right,
and so
right. That is
different.
It's on two different platforms.
It's not a handoff.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, you have the same thing with iOS and Android, right? I mean, Android. What's the selling point between those two?
No, no, and in fact, people might say, "I'll buy an iOS phone."
Yeah,
I mean, but the point
I
is,
I don't think anyone says
that, and they do, and they buy Android phones in even greater proportion.
Yeah.
But the point is, in either case, they're not buying a Windows phone.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it's compelling to say, well, wait a minute, developers are going to be able to port their apps over.
Sure.
So you may well, have, now I'm going to consider it.
Some of your favorite apps may appear in the near future. You know,
I think for sure. Windows Phone, they really got to get the enterprise apps on there. Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Show people, because that's actually people the, start using.
They need to find somewhere that they're better than iOS and Android.
And it's too late, because the biggest... The mistake they made from day one was not to go after their core enterprise group. They went after iPhone and consumers, and it set them back for years.
And they got killed by bringing your own
BlackBerry
device.
Too.
Right.
Yeah. But at least the low-end market stuff, the emerging market. I mean, you look at some European countries, Italy, everything, they have 10% market share for Windows Phone.
Yeah.
It's only in the U.S. You know, we're very biased with the U.S.
We're brand aware here. They're not brand aware in other countries.
Yeah, but, you know, so you can't ignore, like, 10%, 10% in Italy or something like
Is
that.
Is that good or bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're, yeah.
But,
you're
yeah. Right.
Not to, I don't want to rain on your parade or anything.
they got to try something.
I think you're overly excited about something that is yet to prove that it's going to make a difference.
I don't think any of us are overly excited. I think we're kind of doubting with everybody else.
This is the Hail Mary. This is your last chance, if you ask me. Your last chance to get Windows Phone 10 off the ground. And if not, you're taking a $6 billion write-off.
Which it's rumored they might do.
They might do anyway. Right?
Well, the good news about Microsoft is they can suck down a $6 billion write-down.
No big deal.
A write-off.
It's easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing, and it doesn't encourage the market.
You know what? Surface Pro 3 happened after a billion-dollar write-down in Surface RT.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
That was on Ballmer's watch, and I think, you know, a lot of times stock analysts are forgiving that. You know, that's sure. That's not
It's happened numerous times.
Nadella was against this purchase.
Yeah, so he actually kind of looks like the good guy. I don't think they're going to put too much on him for that.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
More questions from the audience.
Anything else you want to hear us kind of dump on?
No, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to drink some more booze.
Actually, why don't you give me that?
Hi, I'm Johnny Chahorik. I'm from Orange County, Southern California. Great show. Thank you for that. Two quick questions about Xbox. Last year at Build, there was a lot of discussion about how universal apps would run on Xbox. I think it's been a promise unrealized. Was there any discussion about certification processes for universal apps to run on Xbox?
Yes.
And number two, was there any information about what the Xbox role will be in replacing Media Center functionality, if any at all?
Actually,
I was in a conversation with Gabe All about Media Center, and it turned out it's... They love their Media Center users, but it's a
what?
But it's a very small percentage.
You're gonna let that one slide. Let that one just,
no, but it's a very
this is the second half of the sentence.
Okay. There's a second half here.
They're very, it begins with the word but.
They're a very small percentage of users, a part of their base, and so small that for them to devote resources to building that out, which would be a huge million-dollar thing. It's not that they don't want to do it. It's just that they got other stuff to
do. It's just that they're not.
And they're not. I don't think they're going to do it. And it's a shame. It's amazing software and everything, but it's
but,
just...
Still have not said no.
I know. That's what kills me. And
because
by the way,
I think what they're doing is...
They wouldn't discuss it when we talk.
I know.
Yeah. I think they're taking elements of it where they can and building it into the existing framework.
The one thing I can say about Xbox One is, you know, that they have in Europe and have now really sort of, you know, in the United States, the ability to watch live TV, not record live TV That's all coming. So,
and in US too now.
Yes. And that's the follow up. It's not PCs. Yeah. When they did Media Center for the first time back in 2002, you know, they faced that, you know, do we Xbox or computers, you know, PCs.
Yeah.
And PCs made more sense even though they were more complex because they knew that market better. They could make this happen. It made sense. Today, obviously, it makes more sense to use a device.
The Xbox is already a hub in everybody's living room. Right. It makes sense. I mean, if you look at Windows 10, what's one of the cool features about the media stuff? It runs MKV files now, right? Yeah. They're also doing all sorts of cool stuff with music. There's going to be gapless music. You know, all these like features that the more hardcore users have always wanted are built in.
I recently reinstalled Media Center on my personal computer, my desktop at home, and, you know, added an antenna and all that stuff. And honestly, I look at it and I sort of fondly remember the UI and everything. But what I also see today is the limitation of something that is sort of old school because it's you know, there's you know, photos and music and things like that. But and then there's TV. But what there isn't in there is integration with incredible online services and stuff like that. And so it's not one integrated thing. And I think it will be easier to add TV into something where most people are probably not going to use that. But some people will. And that will make some sense. You know, you can't look at the one guide in Xbox and not think of Media Center, you know. And I think that's the future.
And you also have the rise of Xbox Go, Netflix, Hulu, all these online demand services that you can watch stuff later. They've really taken off. And it's sort of and everybody's cable box has, you know, DVR now. So it's really sort of spread that stuff out into the living room. And so I think that's where they're kind of sinking their resources to.
But the first half of that was about...
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so apparently they do have to still be certified.
Yeah.
We just did a story about
that.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
It's
so,
not. It's
the
not
Matrix!
Well, he works for Microsoft.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I'm not saying he has an
Well, that was actually a big a stopping point in getting apps on Xbox.
I don't think it's the same level.
It's not as.
But it's
we were
still
told it would cost us $100,000 to get a
it's not,
app
it's not that.
Certified
it's
for Xbox One.
It's
$85,000.
It
was a real stopping point, and that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's great. I understand they want to preserve the integrity of their platform.
It's not about the price now. It's more about the quality.
So, Dan, to be clear, this is certification above and beyond the generic Windows
Store stuff. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the store will be on Xbox, and you will be able to buy stuff in the store.
Yeah.
It just won't be
that story
certified.
They still haven't shown yet. No. But that's it.
That's
they,
the idea.
But they tell us that's what's happening. And so hopefully E3, I mean, we keep expecting this Xbox
someday.
Story to come out.
Listen,
but
the next show is going to answer everything.
Definitely.
You said that last show.
What's the next show? Ignite.
Ignite, Xbox. Oh, you'd have a nightmare.
Probably not. No.
Yeah. Excel on Xbox. It's going to be in the keynote.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
Nice.
All right. We've got a question from the Peanut Gallery.
Yeah, not really a question, and I hate to do this to bring it back to Windows Phone, but I have just one more thing, wish.
Yeah, doomed.
A wish.
What?
I have a wish.
Yes.
I have had Windows phones. I have had iPhones. I have had Android phones. I've had them all.
Okay.
By far, my favorite to use was a Lumia.
The 1520
an
or the 1020 or the
Icon in particular.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But the 1020
is this your
I
pager,
had as well.
By the way? Did you leave your pager here to as well? Okay.
But
in 1989 called your pager.
This was in my chair. It's like I laid an egg and a pager came out. Oh, is that yours, Zach? Oh, okay. All right. He's selling crack
on
the side.
So by
right.
All right. So what I want is I want the contacts hub, which is the best part of Windows Phone.
The people
and
hub.
The people hub. But because you basically find who it is that you want to do something with or for or to, and you can tweet, you can
it
check,
is a revenge
you can
app,
do whatever.
Yes.
You know, I hate, on Android, I had a particular problem with this where I would go to text somebody, look up, you know, their contact for text.
Right.
And they would give me all the phone numbers and stuff, too, and let you click on a landline.
Yeah,
you know, that isn't even... So here's what I'm saying. Here's what I want. I want all the operating system goodness of Windows Phone, but I want to be able to run Android apps, and I want to be able to run iOS apps.
You're an insane person.
I am insane, but...
What if I wrote a people hub for you that ran on Android?
No, first I'm done with Android.
Well,
currently
okay,
I'm on an iPhone
by the way,
6 Plus.
All right, well, but couldn't that be an app that does
Leo,
the same
there
exact
will
thing?
Be a people app on Android. Actually, there is one. It's called People. But there will be a Microsoft People app on Android.
Yeah.
In Outlook.com.
It's actually a little harder to do
Outlook
it on iOS because the sandboxing of the apps means you
but,
can't see
Well,
what,
no, but it will be on iOS
app,
as well. It's inside Outlook.
Right. Running the app and navigating and all that stuff is the goo of Windows Phone that
the
I
goo.
Really like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if they could pull that off.
And you'd get your iOS and Android apps.
And you got all the Android, you know, and then they'd have something. Like, do away with all the services and all the
The reality is the best mobile platform for Microsoft apps is iOS.
Yeah.
You know?
Right now.
Right now. At the slice of time, yeah.
You're more likely to get the People Hub on iOS than you are iOS on the Windows phone.
It's like iTunes.
That's how people, by the way, is how people buy a phone.
Yeah.
It's that one thing. It's whatever it is for them. It's that thing. They go, I got to have that.
The converse of that is that's why they don't buy Windows Phone.
Right, because it doesn't
My wife will say, do they have the parking app that the NBTA in Boston uses? And the answer is
it's just one little thing.
Yeah. And then she says, I can't use it.
Yeah.
Because that's what she needs every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is actually a question.
Okay.
Everybody's been grandstanding.
Finally.
Finally.
During the day one keynote, when Satya was speaking, it seemed like every other word out of his mouth was an office graph. What the heck is an office graph?
What is an office graph?
So office graph is, it's kind of like the machine learning piece where Microsoft's building this backbone where it's going to be, you know, do you know what Delve is?
Yes.
So Delve is like Microsoft's corporate version of Flipboard. So Delve builds on top of the office graph, and it kind of learns where things are. It learns what your likes are and from a corporate standpoint in Delve. Hooks up your interests, displays them, people you need to know, et cetera. So that's the office graph is kind of what that machine learning piece is.
Well, so I think the problem with the office graph conceptually is that today it's really about an inside the enterprise.
It is.
Set of information that it brings together for you personally. In other words, it looks at the people you're interested in your environment, the documents you said you liked or have, in fact, accessed. You have a question that is related to, I need an expert in this particular topic inside of my organization.
Right.
That's the type of thing that the office graph is trying
to solve.
It's not
anything to do with, like, computer science graphs and edges and things like that.
No.
No. No.
Let me just mention one thing about the question.
It does? Hold on. Dr. Pizza says
you... Called Office Graph.
Oh, it is.
Is it? Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a graph of objects and they
graph
have edges between them to join them up.
Okay.
And developers can access this.
Who knows?
Yeah.
38, nice.
Eventually add their own
nodes
on the graph.
Right. And Microsoft's exposing the graph to letting other vendors tap into the graph. Right.
The Joker from Batman.
So they can consume it and eventually they'll be able
push their data through there. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Office Delve is almost like an implementation on top of Office Graph for a very particular thing.
It is.
You know, objects inside of your corporate directory.
And at Ignite next week, you're going to hear more about other kinds of portals, like a knowledge management portal.
The machine learning bit means that it requires Azure and the cloud, which is why right now it's only cloud-based.
Yeah.
About the previous question, yesterday in the Windows Store session, there was a developer that got up and asked, the certification to put something in the Xbox facility is stricter than what the Windows Store requires.
Right.
And if we're going to let Xbox apps or apps in the Windows Store go into Xbox, is the certification going to be more strict for those than for apps that are going into everything else? And the answer was, we're looking at that.
Pretty standard Microsoft.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nice.
What's that?
When Microsoft thinks you're 28.
Oh, God, I wish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just playing the silly how old game. Any other questions?
So stupid when I was 28.
It was the last time you were here.
You know what I mean? If I could go back in time, I would just punch myself right in the face and then leave. You freaking idiot. You know, I just like punch him right in the head.
Why are you on the box?
Wow.
I don't know where that came from. Hey, here's a young picture of you. Now let's see how old.
Whoa.
Whoa. I'm not going to do this to you, Mary Jill. Don't worry.
Who? That's not even me. Well,
who's that? No, we don't know how old that is. Is this when you were in high school?
That's not
you.
It's Bing. What do you want? Now we know who really Satya Nadella is, Paul Surratt. That's a nice picture. I'm sorry. Do we have any other questions? I'm just hanging out here.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry. Right. We're not alone, are we?
Yeah, we're just having some fun. Sorry.
Hi, my name's Kevin Luke. I'm from Green Bay.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for coming up.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Just curious, I saw Mary Jo Swayze from Vietnam, and they
weren't
those beautiful.
Awesome?
Yeah. I was wondering, did you take those all on your icon?
I did. Every one of those was on the icon.
Beautiful.
Very good. Very good. And do you see Sway gaining any traction at all? And we don't see it in our corporate environment at all. I was just curious if maybe it was catching on in other places.
It's an experiment. I mean,
it's still a preview.
Yeah.
And you know, there's only the only application version of it so far is for iPhone. But they intend to make that big. And you know, if you talk to them about what are the future kinds of office apps that we're going to be coming out with that. May not ever be part of the core Office suite, but will be kind of where we go with Office in the future. They talk about Sway a lot.
Traditional Office apps like Word, Excel, and PowerPoint in particular, you're creating like a document. It's like this thing, and we're sort of comfortable with this thing. And we know that even when we're saving it to the cloud, if it's Google Docs or OneDrive or whatever, that we can take that thing and we can put it on our phone or a PC or whatever. Yeah. And Sway is not like that on purpose, right? Yeah. It's they're trying to rethink what it is to be a productivity application. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of PowerPoint. It's sort of a storytelling type thing, almost the type of thing in the past you might have used Movie Maker to string a bunch of photos together and make a movie out of it or something and put it up on YouTube or whatever. They're trying to rethink office productivity. So it's something that may not be sticky. I mean, maybe it evolves in the future or goes away. We don't really know. I mean, I give them credit for really trying because oftentimes the people who dominate a particular market aren't the ones who try to ruin that market, although actually Apple does that. But it's not very typical, and it's not certainly not typical for Microsoft.
Here are Mary Jo's pictures from Vietnam. That's pretty impressive that you did these with an icon.
Yeah.
These are just phenomenal.
Well, I mean, honestly, I'm not surprised. I took all my vacation photos last year in a 1520.
It's just one picture.
It's a really great camera.
I used the 1020 2 years ago. Yeah. Beautiful.
Just really. The detail, the color, just really excellent.
I mean, I wasn't running Snapchat when I was doing it, because it wasn't there, but.
That's more important.
I don't really
care. Neither is Sway, for that matter.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah. Sure. Right, that's true.
Maybe now that it's easy to port, Microsoft will take the iOS version of Sway.
When they announced Sway back last October, I think it was, they said at the time, it will be coming to Android, it will be coming to Windows Phone.
Yes, they did say that.
It hasn't. Yeah, but it will. Yet. It will.
Even the low light shots are.
Yeah. Well, really, I would really say phenomenal. Especially, I mean, that's one of the things it's good at.
Yeah. Especially the light shots.
Yeah. What else? Right. We're still not alone. So, sorry.
We can wrap it.
I think we should drink some beer now.
We can wrap it. Have a little beer. We're not going to do tips or anything, but we do have,
No,
beer
but
pick
you know what
today?
We should mention, like Daniel was saying, Monument Valley is out on Windows Phone.
Fabulous
which is
game.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Also, that game, The Hitman Go.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, that's a cool game. Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of a puzzle game. It's challenging. Yeah.
That's neat. And Candy Crush, too. Or no, I'm Cut the Rope, too.
Yeah, Cut the Rope, too. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's worth if you're a Windows Phone guy. And who isn't?
Just wait till Flappy Bird comes out. That's awesome.
Oh,
screw you.
Hey, I really want to thank not only Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com, Mary Jo Foley from AllAboutMicrosoft.com, but all the great guests you brought in. Daniel Rubino from WindowsCentral.com, Carl Franklin and Richard Campbell from .NET Rocks. They brought booze and CDs. That's awesome. And Peter Bright from Ars Technica, Dr. Pizza. Great to have you. And a wonderful studio audience, a massive studio audience, all of whom I hope are drinking beer and eating food. The dessert is on the table in the back, have cookies and treats, and we thank you for being
here. And we have been sort of guarding this stuff like hawks, which I understand why you wouldn't want to
But you're more than welcome now.
You're actually slightly less than welcome, but I mean, you
got to have the
You should try. If you're interested in this stuff, you should try it.
We do Windows Weekly normally, and we'll be back at our regular time Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 1800 UTC. Tune in live. Great to have you live if you can watch. But if you can't, on-demand audio and video is always available after the fact. twit.tv/ww or wherever you get your
your shows, your internet shows, the podcast app on your Windows phone. There are some, right?
Yes.
They're fabulous. Actually, I got to give a lot of credit to Microsoft because they embraced podcasts very early on, and I think they were the first mobile platform to have a podcast app. So thank you, Microsoft. Keep subscribing, keep watching, and thank you for being here. Reminder that tomorrow is a very special day. We're going to do a new show. We're launching a new show tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Actually, it might be more like 3 p.m., 6 p.m., 2200 UTC. The new Screensavers launches. Patrick Norton and I will be hosting tomorrow afternoon. Wow. Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. And I'm hoping we're going to be able to get some of these guys and do a quick roundup on what you saw at Build. So tune in tomorrow. We'll see you then. And thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye. Thanks to Alex Gumpel for running the board on today's show, too.